Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
That one was not good.
Yeah, shut up. Okay. We are live. Someone said better be on time. We were 35 seconds early. How about that?
How about that? Still on my side, it says we're still a little bit early. Oh, my goodness, bro. Where are real eaters at?
First comment I see is, why is Isaac built like queso? Do y'all know who that is?
I do not. I'm about to know.
Who is that? C-A-S-E-O-H. Go ahead and look it up.
Nah, this might be you. This might be you.
Oh, no, that's great.
We're going to my treadmill. Everybody's spamming. I see Lakers first round exit. Y'all are spamming the chat up already. My taco man, Isaac. Great. Love to see that.
Y'all, perfect. It is 8 p.m. and this is the first thing that you want to greet us with. We ain't seen y'all in like 5 days, bro. What is going on?
Let me let everybody get in here. We got a few hundred of you guys already in here this fast. Let's go. Seeing people spamming candy here.
Love this. Oh my goodness.
Someone said no more Wemby. Yeah, it sucks.
Apparently we're sunshine to everybody. Love to see that.
There you go, man. As you guys see by the title, if you're here early, today we're doing our official playoff predictions episode. You know, we're going to talk about the play-in tournament, the first round matchups that will come after that. And I think after that, we're going to kind of do like a pseudo bracket, and we're going to predict the entire playoffs up until who we think wins the championship. Should be fun.
Let's go. I'm ready to get this off.
Yeah. Right off rip, JRM37 tipped $10. He said, hey, gentle bros, I haven't done you for a bit. Nor will I be able to for a while, but I'll be back sometime. The grind is real, but I still need me my crayons, so keep up the good work. Listen, we appreciate you, JRM. No obligation. Anytime you donate, we appreciate it.
We appreciate you running towards the grind. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
We love seeing that.
Yes. I agree.
A lot of these crayon eaters in the chat run away from it, not you.
And you can't be crayon deficient over here, bro. Go ahead and do what needs to be done to make sure you're fucking loaded up.
Yeah, man. People spamming Luka MVP. Yeah, don't get your hopes up, man.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're talking about a lot. So, you know, as always, if you guys aren't new to these streams, we're going to get to the main topic of the episode. We're going to get to Donovan's debate of the day, which is a new recurring segment. That should be fun. But first, we're going to do our normal thing. We're going to go through the biggest news stories of the week. And I think the biggest thing to talk about is what just broke right before we started streaming. Team USA has chosen 11 of their 12-man roster, which includes LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, noted American,
oh my God,
Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton. How do y'all feel?
Wow, bro. You see, Wemby bought it. Bro, France's team is going to be fucking crazy. All teams around the entire association over there at FIBA is going to be insane. So they have to pick the best of the best. This is impressive. I like this.
They're coming out to try this year for real. They definitely want to win this year. Oh, we got these two guys lagged out. I'll bring them back in. But yeah, like they said, France is going to be ridiculous with Wembanyama and Gobert. Even though France is going to be ridiculous, I don't know if they can really compete with this team, because this is like the NBA All-Star team. It's pretty ridiculous.
We're back.
These are just the best American players in the NBA, bro. This is what the NBA looks like. Literally like 7 years ago.
Someone said they snuck Drew in there. Team. Facts.
You have to have team players on every single Team USA team, and the world better be ready, because we're coming back. We're getting the gold. All right, the Avengers are here. Understand what's going on, and bro, they got Joel Embiid. Like, that's not right.
That just makes no sense.
There's no reason why Joel Embiid should be on Team USA.
It's hilarious. And like, there's no way to talk about it without being all like America and acting all crazy about it. But like, come on, it's free agency
for the Olympics. That shouldn't happen.
I don't know. I mean, people have always done that, right? Hakeem played for Team USA at one point. It's not
should have happened.
Their rules are lenient, so like, whatever. It's nothing new. But it's a lot more interesting, I think, to see these stars play for their home country and like put the team on their backs. Like we see Luka with a bunch of guys we've never heard of. I find that a lot more compelling than just everybody coming to Team USA.
You telling me hey, everybody being buddy-buddy and you want to see real competition?
You know, yes. In the Olympics, yes. Fuck being buddy-buddy with everyone. Fuck that.
It's Team about USA. Your country, bro. Let's say America. Fuck isolationism. Yeah.
People are spamming, where is Kyrie? He's no Drew Holiday.
That man will never play for Team USA. And that's why it's not about an invite. Kyrie Irving would never wear USA on his chest again.
I think you're probably right. I don't think Kyrie would do it.
He's not going to do that. You know Kyrie.
Oh, yeah, never mind. I know Kyrie for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. He's not about that.
You're right. You're saying Jalen Brunson. Yeah, so this is 11 out of the 12-man roster. So there's one spot left. People are saying, where's Jalen Brunson? Where's Kyrie? One spot left. Who would you guys give it to if it was up to you to decide?
I would give this to Jalen Brown. I think like, I don't think that you can go with another guard. You already have Steph. You already have Drew Holiday. And you already have Tyrese in terms of point guards. LeBron, who, even though that's going to be older, like he's still going to have the ball in his hands. Jalen Brunson needs the ball in his hands, and we saw kind of what it looked like this past offseason or this past like Team USA run, where you kind of thought that Jalen Brunson was going to get it going, and then Tyrese Halliburton and Anthony Edwards kind of were the ones. It's like now, like, mm-hmm. he worked this way. So I think you just need another person who can play off ball, play some defense, let everybody else do their thing, and you know, potentially have a game where they go crazy and have like 25 and a quarter or something like that. Jalen Brown fits that mold perfectly.
Yeah. Someone said we need Kawhi. My guy, if you think Kawhi is playing anything outside of an NBA regulation game, you're out of your mind. Speaking of that, we can move on to the next topic. Kawhi Leonard reportedly has a lot of swelling in his knee, per Chris Broussard. I was in contact with someone in the know, and they said they are concerned. Are you guys concerned about Kawhi Leonard's knee?
I'm always concerned.
Perpetually?
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold those thoughts. Philly Loving Ginger just donated $100. Oh! Shout out, Philly. We appreciate you. Common donator. $100, this man is loaded, and shout out Sahil for donating $3, and Mr. Raul Sharp for donating $1. Shout out all three of you guys.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that is insane. Appreciate it.
We have the most breaded chat ever.
I love it. I love seeing this. Thank you, guys.
Back to Kawhi Leonard. Listen, we're always concerned about this happening, and just like last year, he looks pretty healthy throughout the whole season, makes it to the end. We're thinking they're dangerous. He plays two games in the playoffs last year, looks like the Terminator, and then misses the rest of the season. We're not at that point yet, but it's not the best sign in the world to see there's already an injury.
Dude, when some reporter a couple weeks ago, I think it was last week, just actually, some reporter asked Ty Lue about the status of Kawhi Leonard or whether or not he was going to be a parent in the first round of the playoffs, and he gave the most obscure, pissed off, and just like low-key condescending answer ever. Mm-hmm. And this just that along with hearing this, it tells me, bro, their season might be cooked. All for no reason. Not all for no reason, but their season's cooked, bro. I don't know if they have a chance after hearing this shit.
Yeah, no, yeah.
If season's if cooked, Kawhi doesn't dramatic. Play,
if Kawhi doesn't play, they're getting beat in five.
For sure. Oh, they're getting whooped.
Yeah, if he doesn't play. We'll see. Like, there's still we don't know for sure he won't play, or we don't even know if it's more likely than not. But again, not a good sign. And we'll get to the predictions either way, because I don't know. Do you guys even like? Are you even going to favor the Clippers in the series?
It's hard.
Maybe. I've been going back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Two completely different basketball teams, bro.
That's not my question.
What's the question?
I said, are you guys going to favor them in the series? But again, we'll wait until we get to the predictions part to let you guys decide.
Back and forth.
Okay. Next thing. The NBA, you know, they have their MVP ladder from NBA.com. I think it's a collection of writers that they employ that helps decide it. They've updated it. And for some reason, as the season ended, they put Shea back above Luka Doncic for number two. How do you guys feel about that? It's probably engagement bait. We all know Luka's number two, but what's your thoughts?
Biggest bunch of baloney ever, bro. I was irritated as hell seeing it and then looking at all the replies also, you know, confirmed my feeling of the irritation. It doesn't make any sense, but seeing Jokic hold up at number one which is, you know, the real piece of information here. It's just interesting to see.
I think it makes more sense that Shea has jumped up to two rather than Jokic staying at one this entire time. Like, I'm surprised the fact that Luka never got the one spot at all this entire season, especially like how much Shea has moved up and down, how much Luka's moved up and down, Tatum. Like, Luka had there was a week where he was going crazy. He was going 35, 37, and he moved down in the rankings.
It's crazy.
There's always been movement in this like ladder. And for Jokic to just be kind of consistently one, that was kind of the most interesting part about it. But I don't hate it if you have Shea at two. He's 36-6 on the one seed in the Western Conference, where the five seed has like 50 wins. So it's amazing what they've done.
I guess the one seed is really what carries Shea to two for some people. And I respect it. Listen, I understand wanting to give it to the one seed. I'm not that concerned about the one seed when they all are within like half one game of each other between one and three. Mm-hmm. That isn't like somebody has to win it and somebody has to get the one seed, so that's impressive. But like, I'm not giving you more credit for having the one versus the three when there's literally a one game difference. It's not that important to me.
Yep. And for apparently we have crown eaters running to the office over there. It's important to them. It's important for the lore. It's important for the goddamn storyline and all that shit. Oh my God, the youngest fucking first seed since, I don't know, 2011, 2012, the original version of OKC Thunder. The storyline is immaculate, and I get it, and I understand, but that doesn't make it right.
Yeah. Either way, we'll see who finishes number two and three, but seems pretty locked in stone that Nikola Jokic is going to be the MVP this year. All the straw polls that are being ran with voters make it pretty apparent, I think.
He's on an all-time run.
Crazy.
All-time peak.
We'll talk about that after the playoffs if he does has another run like last year. Lots of conversations are soon to be had about Nikola Jokic's prime. But in the meantime, another piece of news. Drew Holiday has agreed to a four-year extension worth $135 million with the Celtics. This Damn. Basically, he opts out of the contract he had next year to player option, and he signs an extension that gives him long-term money but helps the Celtics pay him less in the near term so their luxury tax bill comes down. Do you think this is smart for the Celtics to commit this type of long-term money to Drew Holiday, who will be 37 when the contract ends?
I was about to say, ain't he like 33 or 34 or some shit like that? Damn.
Correct.
With this type of play, I think he'll be able to last and sustain throughout the entire durability of the contract. But that's a lot of money, bro, to commit to someone like him. That's a lot of money.
Nah, it's okay. It's fine.
it is fine.
I don't think it's that bad, just because you know. Like, they've already shown that they're committed to this entire core. KP, Drew, KP, like, they're getting their money. Derek White is next. They have a, like, two-year window, like, this year, next year, to go out and get a championship. If it doesn't happen, even if it doesn't happen this year, something might be in the works. And so to go all in, make sure that you have the most talented starting five, a starting five that has helped your team be one of, you know, statistically, one of the best teams in NBA history. You have to go ahead and do it and just pay the bill. And this is what you're supposed to do when you have 64 wins. Go
so
all
you
in.
Do it even though before you see any results?
I mean, they got 64 wins.
Yeah, I think that's results in some, right? And it helps your luxury tax bill for next season, so it saves them some money. And they're going to be the most expensive team in the NBA. So if you're willing to pay them and willing to keep the team together, all the savings they can get is important for them, I guess. So you're not going to – there's no scenario, even if he has a bad showing, shoots poorly like he has in the past, you're not going to get rid of him after what they've done this regular season anyways.
Exactly. And if the Celtics came out and they traded for Drew Holiday and then didn't give him an extension to really, really like solidify his place on that team, or they made that relationship weird, then you would look at them and say two things. One, why would you trade all those assets to go get somebody that you're not that invested in the first place? And then two – you guys are not serious about winning championships, because obviously you've seen all the success that you guys have this year, and you're letting money get in the way when the person writing the check is a billionaire. And you know that one playoff run, you can make that money back. Like, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be okay. So like, it's just cheap if you don't, you know, extend the money to Drew.
Yeah. That's true. I can definitely see the rationale of that. Me personally, I'd rather see like I want to see the proof in the pudding and see how he does in the playoffs alongside all the other guys. And, of course, it's very fair to imagine that Jrue Holiday is going to ball his ass out as usual and play his role in the most effective way possible alongside all these other stars. But I still want to see it.
Yeah.
Because what if he gives you a horrendous mass, like a horrendous masterclass, and just disappears offensively? Then what?
Then what? He's like their fifth option. What do you do? His defense is still going to be important. Like, it shouldn't be a huge deal if Jrue Holiday, he averages 12 points a game. Like, an masterclass from him is he averages 7 points a game. Like, that doesn't really move the needle like that, you know? It won't be a, it won't be the reason they lose.
And if it comes down to Jrue Holiday, like, Jrue Holiday on the Bucks, it's a problem that he was playing as bad as he was because he was oftentimes the second option offensively whenever Chris Middleton was out. Mm-hmm. Like Isaac said, he's the fifth option. If it comes down to, oh, Jrue Holiday was selling and now we didn't win a championship, I have to go through Tatum, Brown, White, and Porzingis and look at all four of them and say, what were y'all doing, right? And for Tatum, now's your time. And we can talk about this a little bit later, but now is your time. You had all the nasty propaganda in January trying to get you to the MVP. You really want to make your money. You really want to make legacy. You want to talk all that legacy talk. Right now is the time to do it. It shouldn't matter about Jrue Holiday. And even for the next 4 years, Jrue Holiday can average 9 points a game. This is a good contract.
Next thing we got, Gadget donated $10. He said, opinions on Cleveland throwing away their shame, trying to duck Miami and Philly by throwing their game against Charlotte, only to lock themselves into a round two Boston matchup if they even beat Orlando. This is the next thing I want to talk about, because they lost on purpose against the Charlotte Hornets on the last day of the season to make their matchup be whatever they want, right, and drop to drop out of the second seed. Now they're the three seed, and a lot of opinions about this. You know, we've always seen teams kind of manipulate the standings to get the matchup they want in the first round when they're able to, but this was particularly egregious because they played the game and then pulled their starters in the second half in a very clear effort to lose on purpose. It's very, just...
shameless. Say it.
Shameless. Thank you. Yeah, I guess that's the word.
We all see what they're doing, bro. We all see what they're doing. They're having a twerk off, ass versus ass, against Charlotte, bro, over the weekend. It was ridiculous. Seeing that, it's like, it comes with a lot of risk and a lot of potential backlash. You already deserve it. You know, I'm sorry, you're already getting it right now. But if they lose against a team like the Orlando Magic, you know, and if you're an Orlando Magic player, you're going to feel some type of win. That's going to give you a lot of extra juice. And I would say a series like this can genuinely go either way.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be close. And again, I understand people have always wanted to duck certain competition. It's not something new. But doing it in this way, Donovan, how do you feel? I'm sure you're the most opinionated on us about this and the method in which they went about it. Two questions for you. Do you mind manipulating the standings? And if you do or don't, does the way they did it mid-game affect it for you?
One, yes, I do. Okay. You listen, you know the way, you know me. You know the way that I
operate. I've seen your movies.
Exactly. You go out and you play and you try to win every single game. And because especially like, even though it's the last game of the season, there's 15 games on, everybody's playing at the same time. For you to go ahead and do that, it's disgraceful. Like it's... And on the other side, and we're going to talk about, you want to talk about greatness. You want to talk about what basketball is supposed to be like. The New York Knicks had an opportunity to pull their guys at the start of overtime because everything was done. Dante DiVincenzo plays 53 minutes last night or yesterday, right? Tom Thibodeau said, we're going for 50 wins because this means something to us. And that is real basketball. That's real culture. And you talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's why. And I'm going to give away my pick, but that's why they're about to get first rounded. That's why Donovan Mitchell is going to be partying it up in Miami next year because everything is getting torn down. That's why JB Bickerstaff is going to be out of a job because they're out here doing stuff like this, right? It's shameless. It's disgraceful. You play because you're scared. You are grown men in the NBA, the best of the best, and you are scared of other people. I hope you get swept in three. I really do.
It's normal.
I'm rooting
it's
against
it. It's normal to see people like scared, but doing it in like such this? A strategic way, like ripping all your starters top to bottom out of the second half, don't even let them start. That is really disgusting right there. If you're going to do it, at least like be real and just like let all the rookies get burned from the top of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like we see this normally on a day-to-day basis. our own game 81, game 82. We see the wackiest shit. But to just do it like this, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
That's all. Yeah. Very crazy. Yeah. We'll see how it plays out in their favor. You're messing with a lot of karma, and it's very much, if you fail, it's going to look hilarious, and you're going to fucking hear about it. I think if they lose in the first round, it's going to be disastrous for organization. Like Donovan said, coach is out of there. GM might be out of there. Some player, combination of players is going to be out of there. A lot of pressure has been put on them now due to this. I'll say that.
I agree.
Next story. Kevin Durant notably stayed pretty healthy this year after being crazy injured over recent years. And he was asked about today. And he said the way he was able to stay healthy is staying away from floppers and crash dummies who like to throw their bodies on lines to injure people, or I should say, without much caution for injuring people. And he made sure not to guard them this year. Who do you think are those players he avoided? And why is it Draymond Green and Josh Hart?
Floppers and crash dummies, bro. That's hilarious.
That is lovely verbiage.
That's Pat Bev.
Pat Bev, Josh Hart, Draymond, probably Jalen Suggs. Probably Marcus Smart. He was out of the year for most of the year. Thank God for everybody's knees. Marcus Smart's ass would have been avoided.
Throwing the entire Knicks roster too. Talk about flops and crash dummies. They will die for anything.
Yeah, the whole Knicks roster for sure.
Yeah,
that's playing with passion. Right? That's playing hard.
Good for them.
That is hilarious, bro. Genuinely speaking.
I hated that for me. Good
for you. Genuinely speaking, KD's his longevity, it sucks because like LeBron always gets all the shine, and that's what it's going to be. But his longevity is genuinely impressive too because of the injuries that he's went through over the course of his career. Tearing your goddamn Achilles and being arguably a better just as the same level or even a better version of you were prior to that is ridiculous, bro.
Yeah. Good for KD having a healthy season. Y'all, we have 279 likes on the stream. There's 1,200 of you in here right now. Spam those likes for us. Help us get the stream in front of more people. And we're going to keep going. Next thing. Very irrelevant, but it's hilarious because it's a talking point other people say. How do you guys feel about Kevin Hart on his ESPN2 broadcast saying they cannot give Nikola Jokic any more MVPs? It's not good for the NBA. How do you feel about this
what
idea?
What the hell on my TV talking about some goddamn basketball, dude? I just don't know about goddamn basketball. What the hell? The only time I want to see him on my TV is if it's like All-Star Celebrity Weekend type shit. Oh, my God. Adam Silver says he's tired of the way the NBA is being talked about. Boom. Under his timing, he lets the NBA, his NBA ESPN relationship, put this on TV, bro. This is gross.
Yeah, man. Well, okay, I don't give a shit about what Kevin Hart has to say, so this isn't the point. But there's a lot of talk about Nikola Jokic being like a media favorite and getting a lot of special treatment and stuff. Like, it's a talking point probably mostly of people who are jealous their player isn't getting MVPs. But how do you feel about this general sentiment that you see a lot on like Twitter and stuff like that?
You just got to look up. You have to realize what's happening. You need to start living in reality and understand that like Jokic on a bad night can have a Domantas Sabonis stat line, but be impactful. Like he can actually do both. Whereas like some people might come out and they get numbers, but it doesn't really change the game. Or you could change the game, but somehow your numbers don't do that. Jokic is the best of both worlds. And everybody talks about the Nuggets like there's some super team. That's because of him. Like you would not think about Aaron Gordon the same way if he wasn't playing next to Jokic. Yep. Everybody would hate if Michael Porter Jr. was in Orlando instead of Denver, he would get called 6'10 Cam Thomas. Like people would hate on him so much. But it doesn't happen because Jokic is not carrying him, but Jokic is leading them to the finals. Realize this is greatness that we're watching.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Nasty narratives, but like I said, everybody's jealous that their favorite player isn't the one winning the MVP, so I guess it comes with the territory.
Facts. Disgusting work.
Next thing up, you know, that's the main news story I just want to talk about. We should talk about what the title of the episode is. Let's talk about these NBA playoffs. First things first, we got to talk about these play-in games. They start on Tuesday, and we have the full bracket in front of us. As you guys know, the first play-in games will be played by the 7 and 8 seed this coming Tuesday. Pelicans versus Lakers and 76ers versus Heat. Which conference y'all want to start in?
The West, of course.
Yeah, let's start with the West.
Okay. What do you guys think about Pelicans versus Lakers? What is your prediction? Who is winning this?
No. We're going to start with you. What do you think as the resident Lakers fan, right?
Lakers by what fucking 20. They're beating the shit out of the Pelicans. LeBron James is Zion Williamson's kryptonite. That motherfucker looks like the Nassus Antetokounmpo with LeBron guarding him. He's not faster than him. He's not stronger than him. He has to shoot middies against him, which he cannot make. Clanks him off the backboard. If the Lakers win by less than 10, I'll be disappointed.
I love it. I love this.
Yeah, it's
because I also agree with you though. Like if they there's no situation where they should lose this game or where it should come down to the wire. They should win this by several possessions. I don't think they have anything for them.
Yeah, I'm mostly joking about the level of which it should blow out, but I think the Lakers fully had the Pelicans number. We obviously saw it in the in-season tournament. After that, the Pelicans went on a run to look very good. Zion looked great for the last 30 games of the season. I was saying he low-key is an All-NBA case. Then he comes to the last game of the season when both teams are playing for essential playoff seeding, and they get smacked in the same exact fashion with pretty much the same exact methods. They put LeBron James on Zion with Anthony Davis lurking, and you literally see Zion be completely eliminated from his game. Like I said, he's taking middies, uncomfortable middies. Like, this is not his game at all. And sure, they're due for some positive regression. Ingram was the first game back. Maybe he'll look better. It's hard to beat the same team twice in a row. But I find very little reason to be optimistic that the Pelicans are going to be able to solve the matchup issues the Lakers bring them.
It is a matchup nightmare, bro. What LeBron James has been doing to Zion, and of course, like having AD there scares everyone right behind him as well. He just like zapped Zion out of all of his superpowers, neutralized his ass, froze his ass, bro. And seeing Zion just being completely taken out of his game and element is also a reflection of the counters that New Orleans has at the five spot, which is like Larry Nance Jr. They don't have any counters, basically.
Yeah, it's not a great option.
They're very limited in terms of what they can do. And this is like the worst. Man, imagine being a New Orleans Pelicans fan. You're balling your goddamn ass out. Zion playing 60-plus games or whatever the case may be. You know, Herb Jones going to make it all-defense team. And you're, boom, rewarded to face the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James and AD. Be sick to your stomach. And they're sadly going to lose this playing game, bro.
It's not great. They had a good season, and it's like, to what avail? Like, you got to be scared of the team a little bit. People were asking in the comments if I think they should lose the game on purpose to duck the Nuggets in the first round. I mean, the logic checks out, but no team is serious enough to go out there and lose a playing game on purpose and purposely put themselves in a one game do or die with their season on the line against maybe Steph Curry. It would be absolutely ridiculous and embarrassing to lose the game on purpose.
No way. If they lose, won't they just end up facing the one seed, right? Not Steph Curry.
No, if they lose, they have to play the second game of the play in.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So
you just unveiled your second playing Pikmin.
Oh, no fucking shit. I think the Warriors are going to beat the Kings. Surprise, surprise. I don't know if I got to unveil. It's not much of an unveiling. The recent donation, okay, before we move on. Mr. Rawl Shark tipped $10. He said, I pray most Hawks beat my Bulls. Tired of this mid-ass team thinking they can compete. I think we all share the same sentiment.
Genuinely speaking, this is the worst playing game in playing history, bro. Or it will be, at least. No one cares. Actually, no, I lied. It's not going to be the worst playing game. The Hawks played the Hornets a couple years ago, and the Hornets got their backs blown out. Generally, brother, I'm right with you. I want you guys to win.
Montesier donated $4. Said, hey, guys, big fans since last summer. Y'all give me something entertaining to watch whenever I'm eating. Keep up the great work, and the Mavs are winning the chip. I don't know about the last part, but thank you.
Keep eating, bro. Where the real eat is at. You understand.
Shout out to Elena for tipping $2. I mean, $3. Joe Giga Dump for donating $2. And Josh22 Alien for donating $5. And Ilan Chavez for donating $3. Appreciate all y'all.
Shout out to Elena, man.
So do y'all agree the Lakers are probably going to win this first matchup against the Pelicans?
Yes, I do agree.
Okay. If that's the case, then sticking with the West, Kings versus Warriors. You know, we saw this team. This was the playoff matchup from last year. Was a great series. Was it 6 or 7? It was 7, right?
7.
Went to 7. De'Aaron Fox dealt with a hand injury halfway through. And DeMontis Sabonis had some lagging injuries that slowed him down a little bit. But outside of that, we saw Draymond completely shut down their offensive approach. And Steph Curry was Steph Curry to win the series. Do you see any different outcome this year with the differences the teams have?
Nope. That beam is not getting lit. It's not getting lit. Them boys are going home. They are going home. They are not winning. They're not winning this game.
Wait, so Donovan, you're telling me that Gary Payton being out for this game still doesn't move you at all? The Kings still don't have a chance?
They don't have a chance, no.
Wow.
Well, you said Gary Payton's out. Listen, Malik Monk is out and Kevin Huerter's out.
Exactly.
We've talked about the past few weeks. They have no depth. They're, I would know, what's the opposite of peaking at the right time? Shitting at the falling wrong time? Apart. Yeah, falling apart, whatever it is. They are doing the opposite of peaking when it matters most, completely falling apart. They just torpedoed down the standings, so they've had a rough couple weeks. And the Warriors have like opposite of that, I think. I think they've been pretty good for a while now. They've
been one of the best teams in the league. Let's talk about it. Top five.
You're so annoying with this. You've been on the hype train for 2 weeks. You love them.
Am I lying or what?
No, you're right. Best team. One of the best teams in the league is a little rich for my blood, but I know where you're coming from.
It's the truth, bro.
Okay, so you think they're going to blow up the
Kings? Different Warriors team than we've seen initially. And considering that Sacramento Kings got worse, the Warriors have an actual center now, and Klay Thompson has resurrected somewhat. They're gonna win this. They're gonna win this one game, pretty handily.
Yeah, we know what Draymond can do to Sabonis. He's the kryptonite for his game. Someone said Kevin Huerter's been useless this entire season. Why are you acting like he's a game changer? It's not about Kevin Huerter. It's just when you have the lack of bodies, like the people you have to elevate above them. If Kevin Huerter was useless, what do you think about the guys that are playing behind him? You know, like it's just can't be good for them.
Yeah, the depth really hurt, bro. The depth really fucking hurt. And that was a huge strength for the Sacramento Kings the entirety of the last year, just having multiple dudes who can do similar things and, like, just be really explosive pieces. And just to not have pieces like Kevin Huerter, who wasn't explosive in the playoffs last year and has been for, like, 75% of the season, his presence still matters. That's it. And to not have him there alongside Malik Monk, which hurts even more, is like, damn, bro.
Yeah.
Also, okay. if you think that the Warriors are going to let Harrison Barnes, of all people, beat them out of the playoffs, it's not happening.
Bro.
It is not happening.
Harrison Barnes is the most washed player I've ever fucking seen. I follow a Kings fan on TikTok. His name is escaping me. And he was saying that Harrison Barnes is the worst starter in the NBA. People don't realize it. You can look at his numbers. That man is doing cardio. He is so unimpactful in every facet of the game right now. It's hilarious. I don't know what they got to do to replace him, but something has to be there next season that's not Harrison Barnes.
He's actually kind of been hooping these last like three games.
Really? Is that your game?
It's actually not. It's like 22. It's just like 22, 12, 17. Just like regular Harrison Barnes stuff.
Good games, yeah. Well, one of them, he had 41 minutes. The 12-point game, 3 for 10 from the field.
But like Harrison 9 of 15, is... 5 of 8. He's kind
good
of
for him. Himself. Picking at the right time. Never mind. Maybe Harrison Barnes is coming alive, coming for playoff time. He's here to steal the play-in tournament.
I guess.
If you ever depend on Harrison Barnes to do anything around the court, bro, your hopes are doomed, and they have been doomed for years.
Okay, so if we assume the Lakers win and they secure the 7 seed to play the Nuggets, that means the Pelicans will fall to the 8 seed and play the Warriors. How do you see a Pelicans versus Warriors playing game going? Because the Pelicans have been the better team for the majority of the year, but anything can happen in a one-game series, so how do you feel about those matchups?
Ooh, that's tough. It's one game, bro.
One game.
Will Draymond be able to figure out and somewhat contain Zion? Do they have the back line to do that type of damage? I don't know, man.
Okay, so Jonas Valanciunas has been benched frequently for different matchups. You got to assume the Warriors is a matchup that'll make him bench pretty quickly, right?
When can he play? Yes.
So it'll be a lot of Larry Nance and Zion Williamson front courts. I feel like, I don't know, I'll pull up Zion's stats against the Warriors this year. I can't imagine he does well against Draymond, but maybe I'll be proven wrong. And if he does do well in the regular season, you know, playoffs are a different beast when you're really game planning for it. I can only assume Draymond can do similar things that a LeBron James can do against him.
Yeah, but also, it's hard talking about it because LeBron has AD in his back line, and that changes so much as well. And Trace is good, but he ain't no fucking AD, of course.
So. Yeah.
I'm surprised you're saying that. You love Trace.
Trace is that guy.
I love this. This is going to be your hill forever. You're just a Trace guy.
Exactly.
And I'm dying at being right as hell, too.
So Zion Williamson in 3 games versus the Warriors this year is averaging 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. I don't remember when Draymond was suspended. These games are very split apart, end of October, beginning of January, and in February as of recently. One of those games I think Draymond wasn't there for, I imagine, because he missed a lot of time. But, you know, 19 points, 19 points, and 26 points in his most recent game against them. No, they don't lock him down by any means.
Listen, you want to like look at Zion and look at the Pelicans and kind of give them credit for how they've been able to play, especially like towards the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to sit here and say that we don't trust Steph Curry and Draymond Green more in a one-game scenario than the New Orleans Pelicans, then we're all lying to ourselves. So I'm gonna take. So like we can talk and be like, oh, like this matchup and is what is Larry Nance gonna do? Like nobody cares about Larry Nance. This is a Steph Curry production. The Warriors should win. Are probably gonna be favored to win. And I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna take them to beat them.
There is a game that they did play. The last game that they played, that was a game that Draymond scored like 0 points. He put up the first double-double with no points in NBA history. Crazy shit. And
what a baller.
If I remember correctly, the Pelicans were like up by like a cool 20 or whatever, but that lead got decimated in like classic Warriors fashion. You know, they came back in the fourth quarter and they dropped like 35 or 40 in our fucking head. Still lost, of course, but the lead was decimated. So with that being said, I might have to lean towards the Pelicans because the athleticism of Zion is just genuinely so hard to stop. And having Trey Murphy there alongside Brandon Ingram, who'll be back as well, I might have to lean towards their way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe that.
I'll go with the Pelicans. They're going to be at home. They're going to be coming off of two tough losses to the Lakers in a row. It's hard to lose three games at home with your season online when you're the more talented team has been better the entire time. You have two games of Brandon Ingram getting his feet under his belt, looking better. We saw it in Spurs' last game against the Lakers. He, again, limited in minutes because it was his first game back, but he made some big shots and clearly injected an element of life into their team that they desperately needed. And when we talked about the power rankings episode, I was low on the Pelicans because they didn't have Brandon Ingram. A month ago when they had him and they were peaking, I was like, they might beat the fucking Clippers. So I'm hoping that after two games of getting their feet wet, they can look more like that team than they did than they did this last game. And I'm going to go with the team that I think has been better all season. I'm going to go with the Pelicans.
Lame. Okay. I'm going with Steph Curry.
Wow. Yeah, if I want to go the Warriors for sure, but I just don't think they have enough backline defense to help out Draymond. So I want to lean the Pelicans.
Okay. Chat, spam up who you think is winning the series right now. Spam be the Warriors or Pelicans. I got a feeling who I'm going to see more of given the fan bases, but let me see who you guys think. Spam it up. Immediately see Warriors for sure. Listen, I get it. They're the Warriors. They're the fan favorite. Nobody's going to want to pick the Pelicans. You'd much rather see Steph Curry in a playoff series than you would the Pelicans. But I have faith in the Pelicans still.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's a fair assessment.
Let's go over to the play-in.
It's a pretty good amount of Pelicans, though.
Okay. No, let me make a poll. You guys keep spamming it up because I want to see the chat version. I'll start a poll, too. Who wins? GSW? New Orleans? It's a very interesting matchup because there's legitimate pros for both teams, right? Like the Warriors obviously have Steph Curry. Kuminga's look really good as of late. And they have Draymond as a defensive anchor. But outside of Draymond, like you said, Mo, they don't have a lot of defensive versatility in that front court. Looney's not holding Zion by any means. Kuminga's not a particularly good defender. And you have Herb Jones to put on Curry, but outside of that, there's some perimeter defenders that he can expose. You know, CJ McCollum's not gonna lock him down or anything. But Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, and Ingram is a lot of length to throw at Steph Curry. I feel like his life's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know if they have enough versatility to go ahead and do with what the Pelicans will do in the paint to them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know.
418 votes, 50-50 right now. This is the closest poll ever. You guys are going crazy.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
I love that one. Keep running. That's clearly a very interesting matchup. So we'll move on to the East, and we'll let that poll keep going. People, keep spamming up what you think. Let's get that to 500 votes. No, while they do that, let's read the next donations we missed. Shout out to DQ Senpai for tipping $5. Appreciate you. He said, which teams do you think will make massive changes or disappoint this season? Unless they disappoint, I think most of them will.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing that comes to mind is easy, the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. You'll get your answer very soon. Shout out to KX2L for donating $3. He said, what international role players are you excited to see as high-level starters in the Olympics? That's a good question. Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Oh, he's a bona fide hooper for sure.
Yeah. Patty Mills is a fucking goon international play.
Yeah, but he's old now. Does he still have it in a tank? I don't know.
Yes. Yes, I bet he does.
Yes, he does. He does.
I bet he does.
He will still give Team USA 25 points.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just nasty.
Shout out to Adam Scott 04 for tipping $3.73. He said, love from Scotland. Appreciate you.
Shout out to Scotland, man.
Shout out to Scotland. There you go. All right, we got 615 votes in the poll. 52% of y'all are going on Golden State Warriors. They edged it out. Shout out to the Warriors. They win in T3 fans' hearts. Listen, but honestly, when you account for the fan base differences, low key, you give like a 5% padding. I think that kind of means the Pelicans win.
No, my God, you're gross. famous. Talking yourself to losing right there. 4K for you folks. I love
we
it.
Gotta
I
give, do it all the called? Time. What's it called in golf? You got a handicap whenever you're bad and they give you like a couple strokes up. Yeah, we got to get the Pelicans like a 5% handicap. All right, going over to the East, the play-in tournament. First game, we have the Bulls. Actually, no, the 76ers versus Heat. Amazing game, I think. Joel Embiid came back from injury and just casually won 8 games straight and looks pretty much like Joel Embiid dominating again. They have one of the best lineups in the league whenever him, Maxey, and Kelly Oubre are sharing the court. I feel very confident in them. I think you guys do as well. We know what the Heat are come playoff time.
Yeah.
Who are you favoring in a 1-game sample size in Philadelphia?
I'm taking the Miami Heat.
What? Really? You just gaslit me before the show. You were telling me how you don't believe in the Heat and shit. You were literally just telling me that.
I don't think that the Heat are going to do anything once they get into the playoffs.
Okay.
But I think that they have one game in them to get to the playoffs. They'll get the 7th seed. They'll play the Knicks. And I mean, it doesn't matter if they played anybody.
This man lagged out mid sentence.
Oh, shit. There we go. Stick was trash, bro. The basketball guys were like, shut the hell up. Zap.
I'm back, and I'm still going. Okay, I'm back, and I'm still going. I was talking into the void. Now I'm back talking to you guys. I'm here. Nobody will stop me from talking about Joel Embiid.
Never lost.
Wow.
But I do trust the Heat, though.
Okay. What makes you not trust the 76ers? Because, they look pretty good as of late. Like, what's your big worry there? I know you were talking about what is Joel Embiid going to look like coming back into the play-in off of however much time he's missing. But, he's played 8 games now. Decent amount of time.
Yeah, he's looked great. I think, like, the last game that the Heat played against the Sixers, it was a very close game. I think that, like, Duncan Robinson had a very poor game shooting the ball. Granted, Nick Batum also had a bad game. 0 points, donut. But I do think that Duncan Robinson, if he's able to shoot the ball pretty effectively, then that kind of opens up everything else and they'll be better off. I'm going to bet that he's going to have more than just 2 points. And I'm going to I'm going to bet that he's kind of going to be the X factor in this. Jimmy had a good game, had a great game. I think in one game, maybe Jimmy can summon up everything that everybody has been talking about him for. Give it to the 76ers, and then the Heat can get the 7th seed.
Mm. Wow. What do you think, Mo? How are you feeling?
I want to lean towards Joel Embiid. You guys will see later on. I believe this might be the year that we finally get a Joel Embiid run. Don't know if he's going to win the NBA championship or go to the finals or anything like that, but we're going to receive a run. And I think this is the year that he, gets past Jimmy Butler. I don't think that the Miami Heat have shown to have it consistently. And I don't know. I feel like Jimmy Butler just felt like leaning into just like being super chill about what you do in the regular season and, trying to just turn into a different player in the spur of a moment. I don't know how that'll work out in his favor this time around. It seems to not be a super consistent thing. Like every single year we get the same exact Jimmy Butler, because that's not the case. You know what I'm saying? It happens, but it doesn't happen every single year. So I think what Joel Embiid has to provide, and also Tyrese Maxey, and also Isaac, you were twerking for this man like a motherfucker earlier to start off the season. Nick, he is fully back with a fully healthy Joel Embiid. And to see Joel Embiid with the best and looks probably the smartest coach he's ever been with in the NBA playoffs, I think that'll change so much for him and make his life so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting matchup. I think both teams are at similar levels. I think I'd prefer the Sixers in a seven-game series against most teams. But, they got Bam Adebayo, who, as far as Joel Embiid's toppers go, one of the better options to have, a great defensive player. The Heat are second in the NBA when it comes to shots allowed at the rim. So they really sell out to not let you get there at all. They're only 26th in rim efficiency there. So like if you get there, you can shoot decent against them. But they make it hard to get to the rim. So Maxey, going to have a hard time eating at the rim. Joel Embiid obviously gets to the rim really well, but we know he kills you in the mid-range. So I don't know how I feel about that, where if they're going to force him to be a mid-range shooter like they do most people, Joel Embiid can kill you in that way. So he's not exactly the guy you want to make beat you with jumpers. He can do it. But, you know, the Heat, they have a way of making their shooters be a lot more shooty-ish in the playoffs. So I kind of have a feeling that if they're going to make Joel Embiid take a lot of mid-range shots, they're going to be raining threes. It's going to be effective. They're pretty healthy. I kind of want to go the Heat, but I'm not confident at all either way.
The only way your masterclass is on the way.
Yeah. No, I think the Sixers are a better team, but I think the Heat might win. They might be better against the Sixers.
Yeah. No, that's a fair assessment. I'm scared to see how Tobias Harris is going to play because he's been pretty up and down, and a lot of 76ers fans, talking about following people on Twitter, bro, 76ers fans fucking hate Tobias Harris. They flip on him like every other day because of, you know, Yeah, not really. Like just how he, you know, spaces the court at times and also their shit. It hurts to see. And he's going to be like a very big X factor. Of course, it doesn't matter how well he plays, how good or bad he plays. Joel Embiid is the face of it. It starts and ends with him. Mm-hmm. But all the other role players, they have to show up and be on 10. Kelly Oubre, like you said, has to show up and be on 10. He's been on 10 the entirety of the season. Tyrese Maxey, he's going to face the toughest defense that he's ever faced in his entire life so far. He played the Celtics last year, so I don't know about that. But, the role players are going to have to show up for me.
I'm going to go Miami.
Real quick, isn't it crazy? Kelly Oubre got hit by a car this year.
Sorry.
Yo, that's crazy.
That's the way you said it. That's not
Dirty
funny.
Dirty on 100.
Like four months ago, he got ran over. And now he's back. He's about to play 40 minutes in a playing game.
He's awesome. He's just crazy. Dope as fuck. Like, that's such a cool-ass accomplishment to come back from.
That's insane.
Injury report. Hit by a car.
I just don't think we talk about it enough.
Like, injury report. Out. Room. All right, 53% of y'all said Philly in the poll. I guess we can lean with the chat because we're pretty torn.
Yeah.
So they move on. So Philly wins this. Miami falls to the next game. When they will play, the winner of Bulls versus Hawks. We will spend exactly 15 seconds on it. No words other than the team you want to see win. Mo, who's winning?
Don't care. Next.
Donovan, who's winning?
This changes nothing.
Bulls.
Hawks. Mo, pick a team.
Billy Donovan.
Okay, and the Bulls advance. Hawks, your season is over. We're done talking about this shitty-ass game. If you're a Bulls fan or a Hawks fan, I'm sorry for your loss. Next game.
Shout out to DeMar DeRozan.
We got the Heat beating the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
Handily. There we go. Okay. So Sixers get the seventh seed.
I don't know about handily. Both teams have a way of making games close. Closer than they need to be. Might be good for one team, bad for another, but it happens.
Yeah. Let's assume the Sixers and the Heat get the 7-8 seed, because I do not want to talk about the Bulls and Hawks anymore. They are unserious franchises that should not be in the playing tournament. Now, we have our seedings done for the first round. Let's go back to the Western Conference and get to the actual series. First round matchup, we have the Thunder versus the Pelicans. Who wins?
Don't do that. No, we're not giving the Pelicans the handicap.
You lost. You didn't know they put the Pelicans.
I said the Warriors.
Oh, we're willing to chat the side?
I'm just saying it's 2-2.
Oh, the chat is equal vote? They get equal representation?
Wow. I'm trying to see Steph Curry in the playoffs. Come on.
All right, whatever. Who loses to the Thunder? It doesn't matter. Thunder versus Warriors. Who do you have winning?
Thunder.
Yeah. What the hell? That's the easiest
one. Thank you. The Warriors are getting clapped.
I think the Thunder are beating the fuck out of whoever comes out of this. Oh, except the Lakers. They won't beat the fuck out of them. I think that'd probably be close, but I still might lean the Warriors. I mean, the Thunder. But Warriors versus Thunder, I think they have absolutely nothing for the Thunder. Not enough firepower to keep up offensively. Damn sure don't got the defense to stop the rim pressure that the Thunder can bring on. I don't know what's the contrarian answer. How could you possibly pick the Warriors over the Thunder? What would be the path for them to win?
Steph Curry just going berserk.
That's the only thing.
against J-Dub, Lou Dort, and Shea. That's a lot of perimeter defense. Like, that's hard. It's a hard ask for Steph to go that berserk.
I'm sorry. That's the only way they win. Steph, you just have to average 35. I'm sorry.
Now, in the matchup that they did face, when the Warriors did beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, it was a very different type of win, different game. They just, like, leaned entirely differently. Pods in the starting lineup and shit. So it's hard to envision the pathway because this team, so much has changed with this team in terms of hierarchy and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do like I like how Trace matches up with Chet, you know, but they offer different things and Chet is way more valuable, obviously, and shit like that. But it's a good piece to have this time around. Why are you saying like Trace is like just a regular dude, like Kendrick Perkins?
I mean, okay. You have to stop with this Trace propaganda.
Shut up.
Like, and play ball. You haven't. That's why you're flapping cool. your gums he's like this.
Okay. He's a good player.
He's cool. He's a very good role player.
Come on now.
Listen, man.
Trace and Chet Holmgren.
Come
and you're
on.
Like, nah, like he could do some things. Like, shut up.
it's not I respect Trace. He's good. He's a very useful player. It helps their team. He is not going to be the swing factor against Chet Holmgren in the series. He's not the
one. No one's saying he's going to be a swing factor, right? Let's mute that. But considering what they have to offer. Yeah, exactly. That was very snazzy. But considering, like, all the other pieces that they have to work through, like, I don't know how Jonathan Kaminga is going to face up against guys like Chet. I don't know what it's going to look like when you call for Kevon Looney for backup. It's too slow-footed for this fast-ass team. So I'm like, they're going to have to really rely on someone like Tracy. I don't know how that'll pan out necessarily, even though we saw it.
If they have to rely on Trace, they're fucking cooked. Down bad.
Yeah.
Trace. If you got to rely on him to get buckets and get Chet Holmgren, you are cooked. You're decimated.
Yeah, who are their other options, bro? They don't have necessarily any that reliable yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Draymond, get to shooting. You're going to have to put up some threes, too.
He's going to have to knock some knees as well. What do you mean, threes?
No, so obviously the Thunder's best asset offensively is they do a lot of guard screens, and they really make every single defender on the court be locked in defensively, because if you're Brandon Pajemski, 1 minute you're defending J-Dub, running a pick and roll, fighting over a screen. The next minute, J-Dub is setting a screen for Shea, so now you're being in drop coverage, trying to do everything. Really ask a lot of perimeter defenders. And a lot of their players that they rely on are very young. Pods, Kuminga, Trace, like you said. A lot to ask for them to be on 10 like that and really lock in defensively and hold their own on that side when they're going to have to also give a lot offensively on the other side to match the level of offense Thunder can bring. I think they might get flooded. That might be too much to ask for a young team.
Yeah.
Guys, it's over.
It's over.
The real question is it going to be in 5 games or 6 games?
I would say 6. Unless Kuminga's a complete shitter, I would go 6.
Yeah, maybe 6. I mean, you know, the Thunder are young, and I think that's overblown. But I don't think that youth will make them be like a first-round exit, like some haters will act. But I could see it being a reason they lose 1 or 2 games against an extremely veteran-savvy team like the Warriors. And the Warriors have a pretty good defensive ceiling if Draymond's locked in and a really good game plan. So I could see a game or two where they come out and steal one.
Yeah, I was thinking the Thunder probably could have won this in 5. And I'm looking at the season series right now. These two teams haven't played since December 8th. Yeah. They played all 4 games in like a month span. The Thunder went 3-1 against that stretch. The Warriors won by 2 in 1 game, and the other 2 games went into overtime. So these have been very like close matchups.
Yeah,
and we saw
it's a different team now. It's a different team, so it's hard to talk about this matchup now.
It is, yeah. But I think that like I've seen the movie over and over again where the Warriors can get a playoff win that they're absolutely not supposed to.
Yeah.
And so if they can go into OKC and steal game 1, then they can easily push this to 6.
Listen, the chat is currently voting. 70% of people voting for the Thunder. Not a close matchup either way that we guys spend too much time on.
Yeah.
Warriors, you had a bad season. It ends poorly. Sorry for it. Somebody, Mr. Roll Shark donated $5. He said, I think Mo is a bigger Trace Glazer than Isaac is a Wemby Glazer.
Nah, I wasn't raving about Trace from top to bottom of the season. Sorry, man.
It's hard to be a Wemby Glazer when you're just right.
Well,
when you're just actually, like correct.
Though, to go against my own point, I've been talking about Trace over a year now. So before the NBA, so maybe I am.
You can't be a Glazer, Victor Wembanyama. He's Victor Wembanyama. That's ridiculous. Like, to be a Glazer, no, that's something is to live with reality. Right there. To glaze Victor is to be a person who understands reality and knows what's in front of them at a very baseline level. Like, it's everybody should be praising Victor Wembanyama.
Oh my God, have some shame, man. You gotta know what's in front of them. Everybody should be praising Victor Wembanyama.
Like, if you're not, you're just a hater. You're not living in reality. Like, get real.
Accept it. He's here.
Next matchup, the 4-5. The best matchup of the first round, y'all. Clippers versus Mavericks. Who is winning this fucking death match?
Give me the Mavericks in six.
In six, okay. Let's assume Kawhi's healthy. Let's just for experiment's sake, let's assume give he plays me the whole
Mavericks
time.
In six.
Wow.
What about you, bro?
He's a better man than me, Donovan. I was going to say, give me the Mavs in five. I hate the way the Clippers look, bro. I hate them absolutely.
Chat, spam it up. Who's winning? I want to see it. It's close. We did the power rankings last week. I had the Mavericks top three. Clearly, I believe in this team more than the Clippers. And I made them top three knowing they're going to play in the first round. So I agree the Mavericks are going to win. I think it'll be seven, though. I think it's going to be a hard-fought series.
What? Really? Seven?
Dude, the Clippers are good. Let's not forget because they whimper to the end. We see Kawhi every year turn up in the playoffs. Yeah. We know he coasts in the regular season. It all depends on what James Harden looks like. He has not looked good as of late. But even without that, Paul George and Kawhi, I think, are going to be Paul George and Kawhi. The Mavericks have good perimeter defenders now. Their defense has been the top of the league since the All-Star break. They're incredible. The biggest part of that is they have a really good paint defense with that array of big men they have. And P.J. Washington has been putting guys in jail. I don't think P.J. Washington is putting Kawhi Leonard in jail. So I'll say that. I think Kawhi Leonard can kind of like neuter what P.J. Washington brings a little bit because obviously you're going to put him on Kawhi. And that'll leave Paul George and Harden to deal with. Obviously, you know, Kyrie and Luke are going to be doing their job whenever they get switched onto them. But Derrick Jones Jr., Dante Exum, these guys, I'm not horrified at that if I'm Paul George.
Not until you see like, the 6'7 white man stomping down. Oh, the offense, every single second of the game, bro.
They don't have anything for the Mavericks offense. That's why I think they're going to lose the series inevitably. I think I'm trusting Luka and Kyrie with two lob threats and a stretch five and plenty of wings that can shoot on the perimeter along with them. I don't see the Clippers having the defensive ceiling to really lock that down. Zubac is going to be very taxed, and their small ball units aren't what they used to be.
And that's why I would go with Dallas. The last time we saw Luka with a running mate go up against the Clippers, it was Kristaps Porzingis, and then he ended up just like standing in the corner, and then I think he even got hurt in that series. Mm-hmm. If Kyrie plays the way that he's been playing, which I have no reason to believe that he wouldn't, and then Luka just comes in, rolls out of bed, gets a nice, 37, 10, and 12. They're not beating them. They're not beating them. They need James Harden to be at least at like a 7 out of 10. And do you trust James Harden to be a 7 out of 10 in a playoff series? Do you trust Paul George to show up every single game? Like, we're talking about Kawhi Leonard showing up and being himself. He's coming into this series hurt. We don't even know if he's going to play game one.
Yeah,
and if Kawhi's not there for game one, then that game should go to the Mavericks, and I think I'm gonna take them fairly easily. Even though that I'm saying six, it's still gonna feel kind of easy.
Yeah, I got James Harden's recent game log pulled up. Last four games, he's been out. One of those games, he played 10 minutes. Let's assume that's another O. So it can't take much from the last four games. Before that, he had a good game against the Cavs. 22, 5-5 on 6-11 from the field. The Jazz, he's 4-10 from the field. The Nuggets, 6-23, 1-7, 1-3, 3-12. That's not even tour dates. That's just aggression.
He's in playoff form right now already. Y'all were in fucking March. He's in April, bro, already. So
this is a basketball hate crime. Everybody in the audience should be subject to a class action suit for watching this. This is disgusting.
Class action suit.
Yeah, he's not showing up.
Ah, but we talked about it all year, though. This team is so much more insulated to deal with James Harden fuckery than a past James Harden team have. His scoring is of little consequence, but I will say the only reason we view this team as a second best team in the West early in the season is because his scoring was at a high level. And when we saw him actually being able to score efficiently and made them go from being a pretty good team that's around the 4-5 seed or whatever to being unfuckwithable, they were dominating by far the best offense in the league for a while during that stretch. You need James Harden at that level if you want to be at that tier. They can still win a series without that level of James Harden, but you can't feel nearly as confident as you once did unless you get something from him.
No. I'll say this. Like, I was drinking the juice earlier in the year. I remember having the Clippers very, very high in, like, our midseason power rankings. I thought that they were legit.
Mm-hmm.
I was tricked.
Right? They were legit until they weren't. Like, they were playing good, and then they stopped. Like, it's not your fault.
I should have known, but look at the franchise, right? I should have known that you can't trust these guys for 8-9 months straight. That's on me, and I apologize to all the crayon eaters out there. I shouldn't have done that. But coming into this series, this is where, as a man, you right your wrongs. And so I'm just not going to pick that. And so I'm going with the Mavericks.
Sheesh.
If you want to say Clippers in six, I'd be okay with it. But the issue is, Isaac, like you said, they're more built than any James Harden team ever to deal with the James Harden fuckery. But the issue is that they have like more fuckery going on behind James Harden, which is like the
Paul George is also prone to fuckery.
Exactly. Yeah, Paul George has been naturally prone to that as of late throughout his Clippers history or whatever. He's been really up and down, and he's kind of unpredictable at that standpoint. But even like behind Paul George, you don't know, of course, what Kawhi is going to be and do. And then, like, I don't know, Zubac is so cooked in the scenario. I don't know if he has his foot speed to go ahead and keep up with what Luka's going to do with him in a pick and roll, and having Derek Lively now and Daniel Gafford, who are completely different specimens compared to what Zubac had to deal with a couple years ago. So,
yeah. And I feel a lot better about the bench units of the Mavs because they can stagger Kyrie and Luka. They aren't going to deal with, like, when the Nuggets play, when Jokic sits, they lose their leads. They have to come back, and Jokic has to blow the team out to build a new lead. I don't feel as scared about that with the Mavericks in the playoff setting because they have the ability to make Kyrie man second units without Luka. And the Clippers can do the same thing with a Paul George and a Kawhi. You know, they have that similar ability. And I think in many instances, that would be a huge advantage for the Clippers to have that bench supremacy. I don't feel like that'd be a big advantage against the Mavericks. They can kind of nullify that advantage the Clippers usually create.
It's a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah. Listen, the chat agrees. The chat is at 75% Mavericks. They think it's going to be a bloodbath just like everybody else. I caution you, if you're that confident in the Mavericks, I would temper expectations a little bit because the Clippers are still good, but it seems like a clean sweep over here.
Oh my gosh, bro. That is crazy.
Next up, we got Timberwolves versus Suns. Y'all think about that while I read some donations real quick. Shout out to Gurgle. I'm not even going to say that name. Shout out to you for tipping $5. Shout out to the fourth door for tipping $1. Appreciate you. And shout out to Mr. Raul Sharp for tipping another $5. He said, Isaac, I glaze Wemby too. It's okay to admit you do. Shout out a fellow Wemby glazer, I guess. Next series, Timberwolves versus Suns. You know, the Timberwolves were the one seed for the entire year, finished at the third seed. Their path to the finals is now the Suns, Mavericks, Nuggets. To go those three teams in a run with the finals. Do you think they get past the Suns in the first round in the first place?
I think they do. I think they do. I think that their defense, the Suns have Kevin Durant. The Timberwolves have Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like I was kind of down on Minnesota like last week, 2 weeks ago, and I'm still a little bit nervous just because I think that their offense might be bogged down, and if Phoenix really gets clicking with Booker and Durant and Beal and all of them kind of start firing, I don't think Minnesota has the offensive firepower to keep up, but I don't think it'll get to that point because I do believe in Minnesota's defense. And I think that Rudy Gobert is going to do a really good job. I think that Ant also, now that we're in the playoffs, he's going to be able to you know, go full throttle, turn up his defense on the other end. And if him, McDaniels, and Rudy Gobert are locked in, right? Mike Conley doing his thing. If everybody's locked in defensively, the T-Wolves are really, really hard to beat. I think I will take them.
Can I show you something real quick?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you something real quick. Granted, I don't know if this means anything, but Anthony Edwards in three games versus the Suns this season, 14.3 points, 6 rebounds, 3.7 assists. In these three games, the plus minus has been minus 29, minus 13, and minus 21.
He put up 13, 17, and 13. The Phoenix Suns have his fucking number for whatever reason possible. And I would love to be a huge fan of the idea of believing a defense over all else, but you just have to be able to go bucket for bucket with this team. And I don't know if the Minnesota Timberwolves, out of all the top playoff teams, are the worst team to be set up to do that. And the Phoenix Suns as of late have been clicking on all cylinders. Bradley Beal has been snapping. I don't want to say a different player, but he's been like peak Bradley Beal over the last 12, 15 games. And having him be revived alongside KD just being who he is and Devin Booker doing the same exact thing. You have the defensive, I don't want to say genius, but you have a defensive head coach and Frank Vogel who's, you know, pretty good at on his end as well. I think that, yeah, I think that he's able to go ahead and sneak away with this series, bro. I hate to say it.
These are Bradley Beal stats as of late. 36 points, 20, 26, 19, 33. Been on a good tear. You're starting to see, at least in this run, you know, it's only a 5-game sample size, but I feel like we're seeing him and Devin Booker have a much better feel of when to play make and when to get their own shot and when to really play off of each other well. That's peaking at the perfect time because there's been a lot of times this year, Donovan's been the first one to tell us, what the fuck does Bradley Beal bring? We're starting to see the advantages whenever they can be on the same page.
Yeah. I'm going against it, though. I'm going against it. I mean, because even last year we saw, and granted, they lost in five, and maybe that's what ends up happening this year is that Minnesota like fights very hard, but at the end of the day, they just don't have the late game offense. But we've seen all year, Phoenix doesn't have the late game offense either. So I'm not too scared of what Phoenix can do if the game gets really close down the stretch. And Ant had a really good series. And again, even though that the T-Wolves lost in five to the Nuggets, that was probably Denver's toughest series. Like they really, really had to dig deep to go and get some of those wins. And now that like McDaniels is back and he wasn't there last year, Naz Reid is here as well. We'll see, right? Like how much of Cat will be able to participate. I like them. And I'm going to pick them to win, but I see that I'm outnumbered.
No, I haven't decided. The part to me is Minnesota has the best defense in the league because of their rim supremacy, obviously. You know, Rudy Gobert and good perimeter defenders around you. Incredibly difficult to get to the rim. They allow the second most mid-range shots in the league outside the Warriors. And that's by design. They want you to take middies, and they want you to take the least efficient shots on the court while they focus on the rim and three and really try to beat you with math in that way. Makes sense against most teams, but we've seen year in and year out in the playoffs that goes out of the door a little bit in the playoff setting when you have shooters like a Devin Booker, like a Kevin Durant, that can shoot so well from the mid-range so consistently that the math isn't applied to them the same way. When you're shooting over 45% of these mid-range shots in the playoff setting where things are really slowed down and the games are close, you need a bucket every time down, that advantage gets smaller and smaller. So it's kind of like, in the one thing, every defense has to give something up on purpose and allow you to beat them in some way. And the Suns are perfectly equipped to thrive in the way that they want, that the Timberwolves want teams to beat them in. So I don't know if that's really going to... Do you think their defense is going to look quite as good when that's the case?
Yeah.
I don't think...
It's going to be fine. Like, is it going to operate at, like, peak level? Probably not. But even 75, 80%... of what the Timberwolves can do defensively is still better than a majority of the league. And we've been waiting for the Timberwolves to get together, especially now that the Cat's back, and really show us, like, can you guys show everybody that, like, we can trust you and you can put all these things together? I feel the same exact way about Phoenix. I've been waiting all year. Yeah. And granted, like Mo said, Bradley Beal, he's coming on. But I've been waiting all year for the Suns to have an extended period of time where I can look at them and legitimately say, I trust you in a 7-game series. And I can't do that. I think that the ceiling for the Suns is probably what it was last year. You guys have a very explosive 2 games, get everybody thinking that you're going to do something, and then you're probably going to get figured out and have the same issues that you had all year.
But last time, they were playing Nikola Jokic. So they had those explosive 2 games and then just got decimated by the smartest mind in the sport. That's not going to be the same circumstances this time around, you know? Anthony Edwards is going to have to put the team on his motherfucking back, and he's going to have a crazy showing like we saw him do at the start of last season in the first round. He's capable. But, you know, the Suns aren't a horrible defense. They've been around 10th or 11th in defense all year. Somehow they maintain a pretty solid rim defense with Yusuf Nurkic back there. And I don't know who they're going to throw at him as his main assignment on the perimeter, But it's not going to be an easy series for him, I don't think. You know, he's not going to just, like, cook them like he would, like, the Kings or whatever. I think I'm going to go the Suns. It's sacrilegious because I think the Timberwolves have been much better throughout the year. And at their peak, if Cat's back looking fully as good as he did early in the season, I'd probably go with them. But the depth is a question mark there. And I just think it's a battle of strengths and weaknesses that doesn't quite suit. You know, it's a worst-case scenario for the Timberwolves for a reason. The fucking Suns shoot 47% on mid-range shots. If you're going to give them that shot every single time down the court, which they're not going to, they're going to, you know, adjust in some ways. But that's going to do a lot to make the Timberwolves defense look worse than we see it in the regular season.
The only way the Timberwolves go ahead and surprise me and win this series is if Anthony Edwards becomes like the second best player on the court. And I exactly. just genuinely don't know if he can do that or be that. And obviously, too, like what you said, Isaac, if Karl-Anthony Towns somehow ramps up playoff form already and can give you a consistent, I don't know, 17, 20 points a night, then that changes a lot as well. But I'm not necessarily expecting that from him. And all eyes lean on Anthony Edwards and what he's going to do because he's clearly been neutralized every single possession, every single time they play against him. And if, you know, like you're going to overcome a team like the Phoenix Suns, who have been a lot better over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 games in the fourth quarter, who have, you know, Bradley Beal, who he said Pat in previous press conferences, like he said, I feel like I don't have a role right now on this team. Clearly he's fucking figured it out, locking him in more on defense and hitting all of his shots. And he's clearly motivated and shit like that. And then you have a 7-foot demon in Kevin Durant. KD's going to do KD things. Yeah. It's just so many things that you have to figure out ways to see Minnesota win. And at that point, you're doing mental gymnastics. And I think at this point in time, they just might be, in a weird sense, outclassed.
Yeah.
Doubt Nas Reed if you want to. doubt Nas Reed if you want to. Okay, we'll see.
Hold on. All right, speak about doubting. 2 seconds real quick. There are 2,000 people in here right now as you speak. They're looking at us, me, you, Isaac, and Donovan. That's fucking weird, considering they haven't hit the like button, bro. You telling me we over here giving y'all a great show. And only 694 y'all left a like on the stream. The like button is right there. It don't cost you nothing. You don't gotta move. You don't gotta use that much mental power. It's right there. Click it. And I'm down you. You can't get us to 1K. What are you gonna do about it?
They're gonna start asking the Thug Shake for likes like they always do.
I'm asking you right now watching a Thug Shake.
Right, well, on to the next series. First, we read up donations I missed. Shout out to Jesse for donating $25. He said, which players do you guys expect to be the biggest playoff risers and the biggest playoff flop?
Playoff riser and
Jalen Brunson.
Well, I mean, he's just going to keep doing what he's doing. True. It's not rising. Honestly, I think Franz has had he's had a very, very bad shooting year, and I think he'll be able to turn it off.
Okay.
That's super interesting.
Shout out to the fourth door for tipping $3. Oh, Mo, you can say, who's your playoff riser, Mo?
Playoff riser? I would look at someone in the Western Conference. I would say fucking, I don't know, maybe Bradley Beal with the way he's been fucking late, super motivated. He's been in Washington his entire life. So I'm going to say Bradley Beal. And then, yeah, Bradley Beal for sure.
And shout out Lincoln for tipping $2. Y'all, let's move on to the last series in the first round of the Western Conference. Denver Nuggets versus Los Angeles Lakers. What's our prediction?
The Nuggets. Denver Nuggets.
I kind of want the Lakers to lose, bro. God damn it. I mean, I want the Lakers to lose their game against the Pelicans because fuck, they can go so far.
Yeah. Listen, it's not going to be Nuggets and four again. I think a big difference from last year's Lakers team is LeBron James is fully healthy and looks a lot better physically, a lot better driving to the rim consistently, can do more with the ball in his hands. I think they have a better chance to give the Nuggets some trouble, but some trouble looks like maybe they win one or two games instead of zero. I'm still going Nuggets in six at the very least.
Give me the Nuggets in five.
Yeah, that's also realistic.
Yeah, Nuggets in five for sure.
Five or six. It's not going seven at all.
Yeah, the only way it would go six, worst case scenario seven, is if Jamal Murray got hurt or just wasn't looking like himself. But since he's been back from injury, he's fully looked like the normal peak Jamal Murray that we're used to. And things are looking scary for the Lakers, bro. They might get either swept again,
or they're going to get like outed in five games. And I'm leaning towards outed in five games just out of respect for my glorious King Sunshine James.
I find it hard to believe they get their ass whooped like that again, just because I think the LeBron James being healthy factor is a big thing we forget about when we talk about last year's series. He was looking old as fuck. It looked like he was cooked because that foot injury was holding him back so much. That man could not run fast. We saw in the last game, in game four, he ran as fast as he could for the first half. Second half, he was cooked. He couldn't do anything. He scored like 35 in the first half, ended the game with 40 because he was exhausted. And that's a big difference. I think the fact that they were able to make the conference finals with him being that hampered is like insane. And I think now we're going to see them look a lot different. Again, don't think it makes them win, but I find it hard to believe they get swept or even losing five.
Rui Hachimura, it is on you to shoot 55% from three against the Denver Nuggets. It's on you to be the Nikola Jokic stopper, right? Yeah. This series lives and dies with how good Rui Hachimura plays. And I don't want to be in that situation if I'm the Lakers.
And Rui Hachimura, please save us. Rui Hachimura, please save us. Yes. Please save us, Rui. That's what you're doing right now, bro.
D-Lo, if you're going to get shots up, do it in the practice gym. Don't do it on the floor. You're going to get clowned this year if you do it again. A lot of things went right for the Lakers last year. Like, Rui really, really turned up. Austin Reeves, he really turned up as well. I think for the Rui part is like the number one thing for me, just because I think he really, really expanded their offense. They've been able to get there offensively in the second half of the year, which is interesting. And I forget the word, but like it means like it's a good sign. The word promising. Is evading me. Thank you. Yeah.
Whatever. It's promising.
You look at how the Nuggets operate down the stretch of games, and that two-man action with Murray Jokic, it's unstoppable. And Anthony Davis is obviously a good option to try and defend Jokic, but he still gets cooked too. So like everybody gets cooked. So I can't pick the Lakers in a series against Denver.
In three games this season, Nikola Jokic is averaging 29.3 points, 12.0 rebounds, 9.0 assists against the Lakers. And in those games, he shot 54%, 45%, and 64% from the field. There's no stopping this man. Nobody is stopping him in the Western Conference. I'll spoiler alert now. None of these motherfuckers are beating him.
Yeah. What else can I say, bro? Y'all hit it on the head.
RIP. Again, I don't think it'll be a sweep. It won't be as bad as last year. But even a substantial improvement is still losing in six games. Tough sledding out here when you're playing in Nikola Jokic's prime.
Tough.
Exactly.
On to the Eastern Conference. I see a lot of people spamming that come into the chat late. They said, have y'all done the East? No, we haven't. And now we're going to do the East. Well, let's start with the 1-8 real quick. Who we have? We had the Heat in the 8th seed. The Heat versus the Celtics.
Yeah.
This is like matchup number 62 in the last 5 years, it seems like. Do we see this going differently as last year? Do we see the Heat having another Cinderella run? Are the Celtics on the way to a rampage into the finals? You tell me.
I think the Celtics come out motivated. And they have fire in their fucking eyes from getting not embarrassed last year because
embarrassed.
Okay, there you go. I was being nice, but they got embarrassed. Lost to an AC winner. And yeah, I want to lean towards the Celtics way. This is a different team because they just added two more X factor lethal options than Kristaps Porzingis. What he does to their offense in terms of just like spacing makes them at times feel undefendable because there's always like a counter to a counter and they're just so versatile. There's a myriad of ways to get a bucket one way or another. Jason Tatum's gonna do Jason Tatum things. Drew Holiday's there who's gonna be able to, he's just an extra body to throw on Jimmy Butler, although like, you know, I'm not saying he's gonna stop him, but it's an extra body that's useful. So I want to lean their way. I'm going with the Celtics.
Yeah, I'm also going with the Celtics. I think the same thing happens. I think like last year they came out and somehow they were down 3-0. They will be up 3-0 on the Miami Heat this year if they play them in the first round. That's not pretty.
I agree. Obviously, I'm picking the fucking Celtics to win the series. But doesn't it make you at least a little bit scared, like knowing what could happen, what we've seen in the past? Like, we didn't pick the Heat last season in the series at all, right? Like, you said somehow they're down 3-0.
Yeah.
Wasn't expected. It's not expected this year. Is there just like a little bit in you that's like, listen, they're going to make them be a three-point shooting team. They always make them fall into their worst habits. The Heat always turn up three-point shooting-wise. And it's like, you know, any given night, it just depends on whose threes are falling more when these two teams play. They could go cold. I don't know. Like, is there a little bit in you that's like maybe something crazy will happen?
No. Because of the roster additions, like 2%. Yeah. But then I look at the roster additions of the Celtics, I'm like, there's just no way in hell like this is possible, bro. There's just zero chance.
Maybe they make Drew take like 7 threes and he clanks all them bitches. Like maybe they make him be the guy that beats you.
It's not. It's not happening.
This all looks way too good.
Exactly. Especially because like
last year, though.
But like
facts.
But last year when you're playing them, and granted, we've seen Drew Holiday look little suspect in the playoffs, but you had minutes being taken up by Marcus Smart and Grant Williams, and now those minutes are being taken up by Derek White, Drew Holiday, and Kristaps Porzingis. So those two are massive, massive upgrades. And again, I talked about this earlier. Like Jason Tatum, now is kind of the time for Tatum to come out and be this dominant scorer. And I think that you're probably going to see a little bit more of an aggressive Jason Tatum in the playoffs. And we'll see if the Celtics are going to kind of let him do that. But, yo, the clock has to run out on the Miami Heat. You can't keep doing this every single year, coming from the 7 or the 8 seed and thinking that you're going to overtake the 1 seed. It's not going to happen. So I am taking the Boston Celtics in. They're going to sweep them. They're going to sweep them.
I'll say Boston in 5.
I won't go that far.
I'll say Boston in 5. It really comes down to Kristaps Porzingis. I think he gives him a different look because he has an immense spacer. They can do pick and pop, space 5 out, and pull Bam Adebayo away from the rim. And, you know, if they put a guard on him, a lot of teams, their whole thing is that you put your weakest defender on the center and see if that's kind of like the MO for a lot of playoff matchups is who can you hide on the opposing team center? Like when we see a team play the Suns, they're like, we're going to hide somebody on Nurkic. We're begging Nurkic to beat us, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to sit here and post up, I don't know, Damian Lillard, whoever, every single play. You can't really hide anybody on Kristaps Porzingis. Either they're stretched out to the perimeter if they're big and they're not going to be able to help at the rim. If you put a small guard on him, who the Heat play a lot of small guards, Kristaps Porzingis has been fantastic this year attacking mismatches down low and off the dribble. You're not going to hide Terry Rozier on him. You're not going to hide Tyler Herro on him. It's not going to go well for you. The Celtics are very great attacking those matchups. I don't know what the answer is, except shooting variance. That's the Heat's only chance is if they can make it a three-point shooting contest and they just happen to hit more on some nights where the Celtics go cold.
Yeah, exactly. I think you hit it on the head, Isaac. The difference is going to be someone like Kristaps. You could easily hide Bam Adebayo on guys like, I don't know, previously last year they had Marcus Smart closing out a lot of time. And Marcus Smart's a hell of a different shooter compared to someone like, of course, Kristaps Porzingis. And the threats are just there. Like last year we saw in a closeout game against the Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart went ahead and he shot like 1 for 6 from 3 or whatever. He's like, I don't want to say a non-factor, but Kristaps Porzingis is one of the most lethal shooters in the entire NBA. And having someone who's, I don't know, he's 7'3", right? A lot of people forget about that. 7'3", and he can shoot
fucking huge. 7'9". Whatever it is, he's giant.
28, bro. 28 feet away from the rim.
He's 6'12".
It's a huge factor. 6'12". It's a huge factor, bro. So I'm leaning with the Celtics for sure.
Okay, yeah. Not much to talk about. We know the Celtics are winning this first-round series. It's fine. Pain. Next up. Listen. The series the Cavaliers wanted. The 4 seed versus the 5 seed. Cavaliers versus Magic. Whose season is ending in disappointment? Chat, spam it up. Who's winning the series? I want to see it in the chat.
If you're an Orlando Magic fan, you can't be that disappointed with it regardless of what happens. But I might lead the Orlando Magic. They might win this bitch.
Yeah! Play the song! Play the song! The Orlando Magic are going Orlando to the second Magic. Round of the playoffs.
Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic.
They're going. They're going to do it. We're going to see lineups. Like last year, we thought that the Cavs had a chance against the Knicks because of their defense. I feel like this series is going to be disgusting. You're going to see a couple games in the 80s. And I think that the Magic they're going to be able to have like 5-6 minute stretches where they're going to shut down everything for Cleveland. Like Jared Allen's not going to do anything. Donovan Mitchell is going to have cold stretches. Darius Garland isn't going to be able to get comfortable. Like, Cleveland is going to have moments where they are relying on Max Strus to and his movement to knock down threes. They're going to be like, Georges Niang, please save us. please make a shot. Because the Magic are, they're locking them up. They are, that defense that they have, oh, it's scary.
They're both locking each other. It's gonna, like you said, it's gonna be an ugly ass series. I think Evan Mobley, I have faith that Evan Mobley can do a decent job against Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero's biggest threat is his off the dribble shot. He has a handle and a lot of speed for his size that he uses to change speeds and get to a mid range jumper because teams sell out so hard to stop him from getting to the rim. That's a bad habit of his. I think he needs to attack the rim more often. He's low key in like 23-year-old Jason Tatum territory when it comes to that. He needs to realize he's gigantic and 6'10 and can attack the rim. He's going to take a lot of jumpers, and I think Mobley has the speed and length to really make those shots hard for him. So I can see Paolo shooting toward eights, which, you know, he has to. He has to be a volume shooter. Franz is a big X factor here. Who are they going to put on him? Max Strus? Big size disadvantage there. Big Isaac Okoro minutes as possible. Then you have to bench one of the bigs or Max Strus, who's really important for your spacing. Are you going to close with Darius Garland on the bench? I guess that's possible given his, you know, lack of consistency as of late. But then, you know, don't get a lot of firepower with Donovan Mitchell and then a bunch of wings that aren't great shooters, just him alone. Like, you're really putting a lot of pressure on his shoulders with Jalen Suggs breathing down his fucking neck the whole time. What's the biggest advantage they have here? D. Mitch is being the best player on the court?
Yeah.
And that might be all it takes because D. True. Mitch has consistently been, you know, depending on the year, he's viewed as like a playoff riser. He's had his years like last year, just like, meh, yikes, we can really delete this off of the tape. But honestly, like, if D. Mitch is who we think he is, which is one of the, I don't know, 17 worst case scenario, like 20 best players in the NBA, then that should be able to be enough for him to get him over the hump, which is the Orlando Magic in this series. But damn, bro, like you said, this is going to be so in the mud because they're obviously both of these teams have great defenses. But on top of that, both of these teams are going to be like guarding themselves because of how wonky the space is going to be. For, you know, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley's of the world. And it's just about, like, who can overcome it the most. And I feel comfortable leaning D. Mitch's way. I want to feel comfortable. But, again,
do you have to get a lot of production out of Garland? Who, again, they have Jalen Suggs, who maybe they put him on D. Mitch and take away their strongest weapon. Or they say Garland's a swing factor. Suggs, go terrorize this guy and make it so D. Mitch has to win alone. Whichever option it is, Suggs is a big weapon to have here for a pick-and-roll heavy team with two small guards that Suggs is excellent at defending those type of guys, and you got the big fours in the outside. Like, it's gonna be hard for these guys to get to the rim, and if you don't have like 2021 Darius Garland, I don't think they have enough firepower here.
Yeah, I agree. D. Mitch has to be on one first and foremost. He has to be on, and as we know, like over the course of the end of the season, he hasn't been great necessarily coming off of injuries. So if he's not, then I'm leaning Orlando Magic, and I'm predicting that he's not.
Yeah, what happens when Orlando, like, Jalen Suggs is doing his thing, and Orlando's just like, all right, John Isaac, come in, do your thing.
What do you do?
If you are Cleveland, and if your starting lineup has Mobley and Allen, and let's say you're running that towards the game, what do you do when Orlando looks at you and says, okay, we're gonna have Suggs and Jonathan Isaac on the floor at the same time?
Bro, every half, they can come out here and be like, everything's chill, we're going back and forth, exchanging buckets, both teams are getting to where they want to be on the court, your sweet spots, my sweet spots, it's a rock fight. Here's 7 unadulterated minutes of Jonathan motherfucking Isaac terrorizing everything. Like, those small stretches are going to throw such a wrench. That, like, you're right. Like, what do they do? What's the counter? What do you do when he goes on the court other than be like, fuck, I guess I better grab a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all say that as if like Jonathan Isaac is like a seven, 8 foot dragon, bro. Just
he is. Do you realize he is like prime Giannis defensively right now? He doesn't play enough minutes to get the full recognition. It's like you add a 2019 Giannis Antetokounmpo defensively onto the court for 7 minutes at a time.
I mean, that changes a lot, bro. He was making Dame look so bad in their game. Like, if you are the Cavs. And you see like Suggs and Isaac in at the same time, you're gonna have to change up your lineup to try and get more spacing, more shooting to, you know, potentially like exploit that. But then on the opposite side, okay, now Paolo can go to work. Now Franz can go to work. Now you're giving up that defense that is supposed to be one of the strengths of your team. I just think that their counters are going to put them in bad positions if Orlando gets rolling defensively. And the best way for Cleveland to win this is obviously for D. Mitch to go crazy. But I'm anticipating both teams to be very strong defensively. And if that's the case, I think Orlando's defense is going to be better and they're going to win this series. It can go seven. I'm going to say Orlando in six.
Yeah, I was thinking 7-2, but I think I've talked myself into it. Orlando in six feels good.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go Orlando in seven.
Yeah, honestly, a D. Mitch renaissance and just masterclass changes everything. That can be the swing factor. Exactly. If we see bubble D. Mitch come out, then everything changes real fast. And like that's the type of playoff stuff you can never really expect because who knows who's going to turn up. If it's him, that changes everything. What'd you say?
Yeah, but
I say he might be checked out already.
Everything that we hear about him say, he's fully about the team. He's not as buying into it as the media wants him to.
You want to do
bubble?
Cancun?
Bubble D. Mitch. Hey, we might see him there.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be there.
We're going to Cancun. That's hilarious.
Are we gonna do a show from there? Are we gonna make that into a work trip?
Maybe
offline.
Offline. Okay. Next series, y'all. Listen, I know y'all are probably bored to hell. That's the worst series of the start of the first round. Let's get to an interesting one that I'm sure the chat will have takes on. Chat, who is winning Bucks versus Pacers? Spam it up. Let me know who you think are going to win. What do you guys think? This is a fun one. Let's say Giannis misses the first game. Giannis misses one game. Use that in your head as a baseline. How do we feel?
The last time we saw Giannis miss like the first game of the playoff series, they got upset. They got smacked.
Yeah, but they're also playing the Voodoo Black Magic Heat. They're not walking through those doors. You know, it's a little different.
You're right, but you got Doc Rivers on your team, and that's like Voodoo Black Magic alone. You know, like something, whatever way you think, whatever positive theory you have, something wrong will always find its way to happen, bro. Something wrong will always happen.
So Donovan? you're going with Humo?
I have to go with Giannis. I want to go with Giannis. Maybe in six or seven. This is going to be a seven-game series, I think. Honestly,
I think it will go seven, and I think that the new point guard of the NBA, the new face of point guard in the NBA, Tyrese Haliburton, I think he's going to come out on top.
He's playing better as of late. Tyrese Haliburton's shot is starting to fall.
I'm taking the Pacers in this series. I'm going to take them in seven.
The Pacers in seven.
I do not believe in the Milwaukee Bucks. I have not been able to get on the bandwagon. If Giannis misses game one, I think Indiana is going to be able to get there. Their defense, right, is also much better than the beginning of the season and everything that, like, we think the Indiana Pacers are, where it's just this team that scores 140 and they give up 145. Like, they've been better defensively, especially since Siakam has been there. I think that they can be competent enough four times to get a win.
You know what's funny? What? In the last 17 games, the Pacers have the 17th defense. The Bucks have the 18th. They're both just cool. They're all right defensively. It's like, they're both exactly the same.
Yeah, it's like we could probably be a little bit better, but like this will do for right now. Yeah. And I don't know, man. This I'm taking Indiana.
In those 15 games, Indiana's second in offense, and the Bucks are 17th in offense. The Bucks are 17th in offense and 18th in defense in the last 15 games. That is not exactly inspiring. We know they can turn it up, and in the playoffs, everything changes. Things are very different from a regular season, but that's not exactly good momentum, you know?
Yeah, they're doing exactly what the Clippers are doing on the other side. They're kind of falling apart at the wrong time. And we're like, yeah, man, like, listen, Luka's going to go in there. He's going to do it. And, like, obviously, different circumstances, different players. We know that Giannis is one of those guys in the league. But the fact that Tyrese Haliburton is starting to return to what he was, that's very, very promising for me. And that means a lot because in the middle of the season, I was very, very high on Haliburton and the potential of what they could do, especially after they got Siakam. But I think they can get him.
Yeah. Someone in the chat said that Isaac and Don made a bet on the Pacers would beat the Bucks in a playoff series a while back. Did we bet on that? I guess you would have said the Bucks lost. I said the Bucks would win.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was on a BR stream.
How the fuck does the Bucks know that? No way. It couldn't have been.
I don't know. I think it might have been.
All right.
Regardless, are y'all going to stand on that bet or what? Because I want to watch this shit right here. I don't want to say I want.
Okay, listen. Watch. In the chat, because I honestly forgot the terms of that bet too. So what did I say that I was going to do? Like, what were the stakes?
I don't even know.
Because I might have just been talking.
You do a lot of that.
depending on what I say, I'm gonna use that as an out.
That's hilarious. But do we really think that Giannis Antetokounmpo is gonna lose to the fucking Pacers?
With the way the Pacers, well, this is a different Pacers team. We haven't talked about how things would look on court wise because the Pacers are, of course, a different team offensively and defensively with Pascal Siakam in there. They're still like, you know, same identity still lies, but it's different because Buddy Hield is no longer there and you replace that with Pascal Siakam, who's not as much of a shooter, but he can do a hell of a lot of other things. I don't know. Like, even matchup-wise, I don't know how this will come out and unfold.
Yeah. So how much, I mean, at the end of the day, we talk a lot about different matchups, who has what advantage and where, and whose offense can match up with whose defense and whatnot, but like, end of the day, very often the team with the best player wins. And like, we saw the Bucks lose last year when Giannis was hampered a little bit, missed a couple games, because Jimmy was playing the best player. He was averaging like 37 points per game on a ridiculous efficiency for that series. I don't see Tyrese Halliburton doing anything of that sort, given how he's been the second half of the season. He's playing better efficiency-wise. Still averaging a cool 19 points per game over the last 15 games. Not exactly the 27 point per game heater he started the season off with. You're going to need to have somebody really step up because Giannis is not going to step down. He is going to do Giannis things and be incredible. They have no answers for him. He dropped 63 against the team, didn't he? This team has zero bodies that can compete with him. Pascal Siakam was great. Not exactly a Giannis stopper. Miles Turner, we all know, has absolutely nothing for him physically. That's a lot to overcome in a 7-game sample size when you have to deal with that every single night when him averaging a cool 33 points a game on elite efficiency. We'll see what Dame does. But we know that when it comes down to it, they're going to revert to Chris Middleton, Giannis pick and roll. Dang, do whatever you can. But we know that duo can be really reliable. Brook Lopez is Brook Lopez. I struggle to believe the Pacers can really do this.
I'm not going to lie.
That's fine. That's
the
fine.
Pacers don't have Doc Rivers on their side and Rick Carlisle. So there's like
a 1.5 coaching gap, matchup.
Yeah, exactly. There's a coaching gap and if they're going to do this, it has to be by committee for the Indiana Pacers. And looking at all the bodies that they have, like, of course, Tyrese Pascal is going to be there, but Miles Turner is a legit force. Him compared to Brook Lopez clearly wins that matchup at this stage in Brook Lopez's career. I think a real X factor is fucking Chris Middleton. Yeah. And obviously Dame Miller. He's probably an even bigger X factor because he's been so up and down throughout the entirety of the year. But it comes down to those two genuinely when I think of this. And what they're going to provide on the night-to-night basis. With Dame, at this point, you almost never fucking know. And it's been like that for the entirety of the year, unless like he doesn't have Giannis on the team, which is weird as hell. But if Chris Middleton can come out, show out, average a cool 15, 16 points a night, and you're telling me Giannis is healthy as well and Dame is just doing whatever Dame does, it's going to be hard to envision the way the Pacers get this done.
They need early season Tyrese Halliburton, and he hasn't been that. And maybe we see him be a crazy playoff riser, but I don't, as much as I love him, I don't think he has a scoring game that's like super well suited for a playoff series, you know? Like, I'm not going to say things about him that I say about like Shea, who has the type of individual shot creation that's hard to game plan for. Tyrese needs a lot of step back threes to fall. Yes. You can game plan for that. You can sit on that. You can, you know, he has the playmaking to be able to really make you pay if you sell it on a shot too much. But he's not. I don't think he's going to be a high-volume playoff scorer, really, at any point of his career. That's not going to be his game. I just don't see how they... I know they have the firepower collectively, the number two offense in the league. They have been the whole time. There's a big difference in collective offensive rating against the entirety of the league and versus one team as game planning for you on a 7-game series. It's not just can you score points consistently in that way. It's do you have the necessary ways and variety of skill set of scoring points that can match up when somebody takes away your best options? TBD
and
for
that.
And
that's why Pascal Siakam is there.
Exactly.
That's the entire reason for him. And that's what makes this conversation hard, even harder, because it's like, what is he going to look like against the Bucks? This is the hardest series to predict in my mind now that I think about it, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bucks. I'm going to default to the low IQ, just like they're better, more talented thing. Like, this is one that says where I just feel like that's something you can rely on, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't. it makes sense, obviously, to pick the Bucks, but they are not in a position where, like, they've shown us over the last, you know, couple weeks that they're not in the best position. They're not strong. They're not moving well. And I don't like having, like, negative momentum coming into the playoffs, especially with a team that's kind of finding their groove again. So that's why I'm, you know, backing the Pacers.
Listen, if we were guessing the second round series today, I wouldn't be picking the Bucks. I'll tell you that. But just focusing on the first round, even with the lack of momentum, I think they can pull it out. It'll be just hard-fought six or seven games. Because I think they had good momentum, and they were like mid-season Bucks, and they were putting it together when they got Doc. Then I'm like, okay, four or five games. This is going to be a bloodbath. Now I think because of the slow play we've seen as of late, like you said, six or seven, it's going to be tough.
For sure.
I'm leaning the Bucks too. If Tyrese Haliburton was supernova like he was earlier in the year, like you said, Isaac, averaging 27, I might lean their way. But I'm going to go with the Bucks for now.
Listen, chat agrees. 62% are saying Milwaukee. Everybody's so out on Tyrese right now. I see why they said that. We'll see how it goes. Y'all, we got one more first-round series to get to. Donovan, the one you've been waiting for. Who is winning when the Knicks play the 76ers in the first-round matchup between the 2-7 seed? Chat, spam it up. Are the Knicks beating Joel Embiid? Is Joel Embiid flopping again? I want to see your thoughts.
You already know the vibes. You already know the vibes. I want Joel Embiid to come into the Garden and have disaster classes. Because Tom Thibodeau, listen, Isaiah Hartenstein getting buckets. Mitchell Robinson doing his thing. If Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby are there, the Knicks win this series in six. And
wow.
That's it.
Bro, I think the 76ers are dangerous. Like, I don't know.
They are.
I had to think it through, but I think it goes seven. In whatever direction, it goes seven, I think.
They are very, very dangerous. But they're not the most dangerous. Because that's the New York Knicks. That's Jalen Brunson. Even without OG, like Brunson's ability to really put the offense on his back and still like create stuff. And I'm very, very curious to see just how well Josh Hart plays. Because
Jalen Brunson, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say like two things. Like Jalen Brunson is the most my knight in shining armor player ever. Like you just feel so protected and like no one can fuck with you. Why? Because I got this man on my team right here and not even bullets can go through this man. So it's like having him on that team in the playoffs is such a huge difference.
He is bulletproof as fuck. Jalen Brunson is – I feel so confident he will play like Jalen Brunson in the playoff setting, especially against the 76ers who aren't a bad defensive team, but – I don't think they necessarily have the personnel to really make Jalen Brunson sweat. We've always said, like, oh, he's small. You can throw doubles at him, make him pass, and beat you as a passer. They know this. They've played a whole season with Jalen Brunson being small and being thrown doubles at him. They know how to combat this. He wouldn't be scoring 40 every night if it was that simple to just throw bodies at him. They're really good at having shooters on the wing that can attack closeouts and make plays as the release valves. They have Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson, who are bigs that can do a little bit in the short role when they get past to him. Jalen Brunson is great at counters and fighting away from double teams and getting to his mid-range shots. It's not as easy as that. But Joel Embiid is a pretty great pick-and-roll weapon. So Jalen Brunson is going to have to be a really heavy isolation scorer. And if we're going ISO for ISO, Brunson against Joel Embiid, that's tough. Which supporting cast do you believe in more from a shot-making perspective? Maxey and I guess Kyle Lowry and all those guys there? Or the Band of Brothers, Power of Friendship Knicks?
Power of Friendship. Power of Friendship. These guys, man. I think that, like, last year we saw what Brunson was able to do against one of those types of teams in terms of, like, the Miami Heat. And he still had a very, very good series. It was everybody else who wasn't showing up. It was RJ who wasn't knocking down shots. Quickly had a terrible playoffs. Randall wasn't playing well. Josh Hart, I don't need Josh Hart. Well, I actually might. I might need Josh Hart to score 15 or 16, but that's okay. Dante has been lighting it up from three this entire year. And again, if OG, we've seen the shift between the Knicks when OG's there and when OG's not there. And if he's there, and if you are able to deploy him on the wing as just this defensive monster to take away everybody, he can disrupt a lot of what Philly does offensively. I think New York with home court advantage, like those first two games in the Garden is going to be something crazy. And it's going to be very, very, it's going to be a tough environment for the Sixers to come in and win. I have to take the New York Knicks in this series.
It's not shocking to me the more that you talk through it, but I still feel pretty confident in Joel Embiid and just how he matches up against the Knicks in terms of just like his ability to elevate others around him just because of his presence and all the focus on being on him. And at that point in time, like we said earlier, it just relies, it just depends on how the other role players like Kelly Oubre, Nick Batum, Tyrese Maxey, and all the and all those guys decide to elevate. But I want to go with Philly. I want to go with Philly. This is the year Joel Embiid makes a run. I'm sticking to it.
This is the first series today that I don't know what my thoughts are. You know, like usually I can have an opinion even if I'm not super confident about it. I don't feel comfortable picking either of these teams. I don't know. If I were to give you a choice, I would just be talking my ass and picking one. I feel so unbelievably 50-50 that, like, I'm going to flip a fucking coin at this rate. Like, they are so evenly matched, I think. I don't know who to pick at all.
You should pick the two seed that has Hart.
Yeah, you should. Home
court advantage. And a guy who is in, like, peak condition. Like, I know Joel has played 8 games and it's been great, but and it's probably going to be okay in the first round because the games aren't like back to back like that. But playoff games are different, and I want to see Joel play a full series. I don't think he's going to get hurt, but I do wonder what it's going to be like going up against a very, very tough team like the Knicks.
Counterpoint. What? 31-8 with Joel Embiid. Yes, the Knicks are the 2 seed. Yes, they're playing great. They're healthy. The 76ers would be in that same mix if he didn't get hurt. And now he's back looking completely fine. It's not a normal 2-7. Like, it's extremely difficult. You're basically seeing two-seed level teams playing each other.
You're right. It's not a normal 2-7, right? It's not. They're not a normal 2-seed. They're one of the most dangerous 2 seeds to ever come in the NBA. This team can mess up everything in the Eastern Conference. You have a 64 team. I don't care. They can go into Boston. They can beat them. The same way. Listen, everybody's talking about the power of friendship for the Heat. We should be scared. It's been transferred to the New York Knicks. They literally have friends. They have college roommates. Lifelong bonds. They will put those three on brochures for Villanova for years to come. This is the deal. And don't wait. Listen, in the offseason, when Mikal Bridges comes, it's a championship next year.
So all that sounds nice. All that sounds great. All that sounds like any Knicks fan's dream and fantasy. But a demon named Nick Nurse is going to walk into those doors and give you guys real nightmares, I believe. Joel Embiid, since he's been back, is averaging 30-10-5, bro. And he's been the normal Joel Embiid, like you said, Isaac. And at this point in time, I just don't see a world in where the Knicks have enough bodies, especially, to keep up with him. You're going to really rely on Hardenstein like that? You really?
That's how I know you haven't been watching.
No, but against Joel Embiid, he's going to be in foul trouble quick. That's a hard matchup for Hardenstein, as much as I love him. That's not easy at all.
It's hard. It's hard.
I forgot Joel Embiid plays, you know, insurance for our backs. I did forget about that. He's going to be falling 25 times a quarter. I will bake that in. But you have guys. You have Hartenstein. You have Robinson. If you need somebody to go take fouls, Jericho Sims. You want to play in the playoffs? Oh, now is your time, right? You want to contribute to winning? Take these 6 fouls against Joel Embiid. Now is your time.
It's going to be tough, man. But all right, it sounds like you guys are split. I don't have an answer. The chat is picking Knicks 65%. So I guess we're going with the Knicks as the official wow. 2-3 prediction.
Yeah! Shout out,
chat. Chat, you talking about selling this, selling that? You just sold this goddamn prediction bracket, bro. Good
All right, man. That is every first round pick. I mean, every first round series and play-in tournament prediction. We covered them all. Listen, we'll see. Everybody revisit this once it's over. We'll see how we did. But now the show is not over yet, though. Don't go anywhere. Now we have the most fun part of the show, I think. Donovan's debate of the day. Every episode, every stream, Donovan comes with one debate topic, and we go at it talking about it. Surely he'll be coming with some more bullshit. Last time it was about cereal. We'll see what you got this time. But before that, let me read the donations real quick. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Easy Money Trace for donating $10 just now. Appreciate you. Shout out to Jack Clip for donating $1 and Jesse Minima for donating $15. We appreciate all y'all. And Matthew for donating $10. All right, Donovan. What is our debate of the day? And is it about Cinnamon Toast Crunch again?
It is not about Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We're talking basketball today. I think that the first round, that the number one seed in each conference should get a bye.
Interesting.
I think they should get a bye. I think that, like, one, if you want to keep the play in the way that it is, fine, right? You have the 9 and 10 playing games, you want to give them a shot, okay. But I think that now that you have the top six, there should be even more of an incentive for the top team to do that, to like go ahead, get the one seed, have time off, let all the other bums in the play-in, right, be okay, because you expanded the field, but there should really be a reward, because like you're seeing with the Knicks and even with like the Thunder, like the Thunder are going to have one of the best regular seasons in the league. And their reward might be LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the first round.
What does the bracket look like for the first seed? Don't the 1 and 2 seed have to have a bye for it to make sense? Expand it to a 10-team playoff?
Well, it's kind of already there. I think I don't know how it would work necessarily. I think you would just have a play-in for the 7th seed.
Mm. So playing for the 7th seed, okay, so what does it look like? There's no 8 seed?
Listen, it's not 100% built out. But yeah, no, it is.
So it's an L math. I think it's L math.
I don't care if it's L math. But yeah, so there would not be an 8 seed, but you would still have a play-in for the 7 seed.
I'll take. You'd rather remove the 8 seed so the first round can get a bye and have a smaller playoffs? I do not think we're in the era.
20 teams out of 30 are eligible to make the playoffs as currently constructed. 66% of the league. That's okay, too
eligible
much.
To make it. That's such a generous way to say it. Yes. 16 teams make it like 16 teams always have. And I think in the era we're seeing the most talent over in the NBA. We've seen the most talent we've ever seen in the NBA right now. And your answer is to make less of them have a chance to win it all. I don't think that it's a punishment to get the one seed and play the Lakers. That's just fucking reality. The league is as more talented as it ever has. I'd rather more teams that are that good have a chance than less.
You've literally seen this year, you just talked about it with the 76ers saying they're not a normal 7 seed. Like, stuff happens. And the same way that, like, the league is more talented than it's ever been, we see now you kind of have to just bake injuries in. Like, serious injuries for a lot of the top players. I feel like it's been a long time since we've had a very legitimate, like, healthy regular season where the top teams with all the best stars stay healthy for the entire way. And somehow, some team is going to fall to 6 because their star missed 3 to 4 weeks, and now they're going to be in the play-in mix. But, again, even at 16 teams, over half the league makes the playoffs. And that just seems like a lot. That just seems like a lot.
Well, what do you think?
If I'm looking at it from just a straight financial standpoint,
stick to cereal. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Shout out to Yeah.
Yeah, this is a massive L. Obviously, logistics seem like wonky. And then behind that, like, you're just ruining a whole aspect of fun in the NBA. Like, we can't, like you said, we see OKC fight their ass off, be the number one seed, and their reward is Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, what if the Lakers win? Do you know how much money will be made? Do you know all the narratives that could be gotten off for my glorious King LeBron James that I could talk about when I'm fucking 40 years old, bro? He beat a number one seed team full of future legends like he did when he was like 26 years old back in Miami days. The narratives are going to go fucking ballistic. And then in terms of just, like, you know, talking about all the talent in the league now, too, like, why would you not want to showcase your talent and, like, deduce it just because you want to give the number one seed a pacifier and be like, okay, you did your job.
A pacifier? Up, you know?
That's a huge pacifier.
You're making them really comfortable.
What do you mean a pacifier? You have – okay. This is my legitimate question.
Okay.
Why do we play 82 games? the serious reason is like if you are going to have this long season and everybody else has incentives when they're like at the borderline or stuff like that, teams we're literally talking about like, oh, should this team like drop down from 1 to 2 or like try to like escape these like playing teams, this or that, like would it be better if you're in the 3 seed so you don't have to play the Lakers or the Warriors in the first round, I think that if you have this very long season, there should be a reward at the top, because the only like you do get home court advantage throughout, but you still are at the same, like from round to round, you are at the same quote unquote advantage as everybody else after you just prove that you're better than every team in your conference.
Yeah, and like you said, home court's the advantage and playing the weakest team. Like, not every year are we going to... This is the most stacked Western Conference you've ever seen. This is the first time in NBA history we have 10 teams in the Western Conference be over 10 games or be over 500. That's never happened before. This is not a regular year. There's going to be plenty of years where the Bucks play the motherfucking Orlando Magic in the first round and sweep them like we've seen in previous years. This isn't going to be how it is all the time. And I understand once you should get an advantage, and I think they do. I think home court advantage and playing the weakest team in the playoffs is perfectly fine. I don't think you need to... The regular season isn't justified anymore because the one seed gets this much easier of a path. I think having straight up no first round series goes from it them being on better footing to it just being a ridiculous over-the-top advantage. Like, NFL does that, good for them. I don't think that makes them any better, you know?
NFL does that, and the MLB does that. The only other league that doesn't do that is, like, the NHL. But, like, if you are doing this, I do think that it helps put, like, the one seed and in just that much more, like, valuable. And I do – obviously –
It does. It definitely does.
And also, don't act like when the play-in came in and everybody was like, oh, no, like, these people are going to get the 8 seed. Like, don't act like you were out here fighting and be like, oh, no, the 8 seed is so valuable. You're like, yo, they're going to get clapped anyways. Anytime that we go in and see people – get the 8 seed, the assumption is that they're going to get clapped anyways.
And so why take that away? Why is it a big deal to make them not get a chance then? Like, if they should get clapped, they should get clapped. It's not a huge disadvantage for the 1 seed.
Because again, it's the same scenario as it's two things. One, you can have a situation where the 76ers now are the 8 seed when that is not indicative of how they actually are, because Joel Embiid missed 2-3 months of the season. And then two, just like I think in the play-in, you play 82 games and you are X amount of games behind the 7 or 8 seed, you should not have an opportunity to compete for the playoffs at all. I think the same thing, where if you are better than everybody else, if you have shown for 10 months that you have the best team, then you 100% should get a major advantage.
Okay, so that's what I take. That's what I pull in the chat. Yeah, there's definitely other ways.
what's another way?
Do you like the idea of people float out if they get to pick their first round matchup from the bottom teams?
I think that would be. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, this is. I understand your point. I understand wanting to make the one seed more valuable, and that's fine in principle. Giving less teams a chance to compete isn't the answer, though. There's no world where that makes sense for anybody. I think end of the day, like you say, more talent, more teams should get a chance. Just because the 76ers had somebody get hurt and fell to the AC. Your whole point is that the 76ers are so good that they shouldn't get a chance.
No, that's not my.
I know. But you're saying
it's not an advantage.
But that's your example. You're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you're saying, I know. But whatever. Let's say a team is super good in the 8 seed, so it's not an advantage to the 1 seed. That's like they should get a better chance, not be so unlucky to play a great team at the Lakers or 76ers in the bottom. Tough. That's how it worked out. There's a lot of good teams. Like, year to year, that'll change. I don't think that's a reason to make it so those teams don't have a chance. It's not their fault they're good.
Even if you have a situation this year where it is literally, like, kind of possible, where the Chicago Bulls are the 8th.
Hold on, sorry. Someone's screaming. Mo's scratching his balls right now.
No, not gonna lie. No. Right now, not gonna lie to you, I am stretching out my goddamn calf. This bitch is so sore. I've been having the craziest calf cramps the last 2 days. Why the fuck am I walking around last night at 1 a.m. limping like I tore my Achilles? Makes no sense. I'm only 24 years old.
And this shit is cramping right now. You're not being the ball scratcher allegations.
Oh, bro, it's my calf, bro. Those allegations are beyond. I ain't gonna lie, I was gonna time out, buddy. It was too funny, though. I was getting ready right there. You were this close. You were this close.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Someone said, Isaac, you're dirty for reading that comment. I had to. It's hilarious.
Yeah, what if I was then? What? It's really y'all. I'm gonna be like,
I'm gonna be like, get out of your pants. What are you doing? You're on live. Kids are watching. It's weird. Moshe's minding his own business, getting strays. Yeah, so we got 57% saying L taking the chat. It was a lot worse earlier. They're coming around to it as you talk. It was at like 70%. So at least you got a small margin on your side.
Listen.
Yeah, I like the
innovation. You got to understand when you're right. And I understand not everybody can be as forward thinking. But okay, one day everybody will come around.
All right. So shout out to Isaac Glazing for donating $3.05. He said, congrats on 100 episodes, guys. Love you all. Keep it going. And tell Mo that watching movies at night is the real loser material. Go for a walk, man. Apparently, Mo's right.
On you go take. For a walk. You can be going for a walk instead of that goddamn movie you're watching. What the hell are you talking about?
Listen, somebody said you're sniffing.
Who, me?
You're sniffing.
Yeah.
His fingers?
They said you scratched and sniffed.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy as hell. Oh, no, that's crazy.
Not only are you a scratcher, but you're also curious of the aftermath of the scratching. That's crazy. Shout out to Easy Money Trace donating another $10. He said, what's the best sleeve jersey of all time? I guess the Black Cavs ones, but they're all shit.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that one sucks. The Warriors have a very cool like white Chinese
Oh, okay, sure.
It was like a Chinese New Year one. That one was very cool.
Yeah, that one's fine. The Christmas ones are solid too, I guess. Yeah. Comparatively. I mean, again, the competition isn't exactly stiff, you know, so I like the monochromatic Christmas ones more than most of them. The Lakers have an all-white one. That's pretty cool.
They do?
Yeah, didn't they play that year? I think they got an all-white one.
I don't remember that. I don't remember an all-white one for the Lakers.
Kobe's... Let me see. Kobe sleeved jersey white. I believe so. Maybe I'm a yapper. Maybe I'm a yapper. I don't know. Anyways, to the next donation.
Oh, well, they're all ass.
Shout out to DAWIT for donating $1. Appreciate you. And that's all the donations. Anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Man.
No, man. I think I'm good.
Chat, that was a great stream. We had 2,000 of y'all in here the whole time. 1,500 of you right now for the end of it. A solid 2 hours. Good streaming, chat. Good debating.
Shout out to y'all.
Appreciate y'all. Stay tuned for the next episode. We're going to obviously react to the playing tournament in the next episode. Actually, we won't see the last couple games because we're going to record on Thursday. So... the first round of the play-in we'll be able to react to. Should be good.